John, I see the recording is running, but I don't hear anything. Are you running the broadcast?
You do hear the recording, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 8th, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern until midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. We read chapter 24 last week, so this today we're going to be reading chapter 25. Okay.
Chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Okay, tonight we're going to take a look at the reason for putting together or creating committees of safety. So we're going to play a video. It's about 28 minutes long, and it's a PowerPoint video, and it lays out the history of the committees of safety and how our founding fathers created this nation through the committees of safety, using the committees of safety, and how we can use the committees of safety to bring back our government back under the chains of the Constitution and thereby have a government by consent of the people. Now, of course, this is going to take some time, and probably before this happens, other events will be taking place, and hopefully we'll be, you know, we will have our nation back and we will have just courts. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue our program. We've got a lot of things that we have to make sure that we, the people, can control, and not the people who we elect. The people we elect, they have been elected to serve a purpose and to provide the necessary, information or shall I say, their judgment and legislation, and so on. But only according to the Constitution. Their authorities are limited. For instance, legislators only have, I believe it's 18 powers. Outside of those 18 powers and jurisdictions, they're not to act. Although they've been acting way outside those boundaries. We just haven't been paying attention. Because of ignorance, they were able to act outside of those jurisdictions and outside of those boundaries. Because we were ignorant and didn't pay attention, we lost control of our government by consent. We no longer have a government by consent. And if you look to see what's going on today, it becomes so obvious that we can't do anything. They have the controls. We don't. We can't control them. So if the people are not going to step up and take these controls and maintain the ownership of these controls in order that they might have liberty and that their posterity might have liberty, if we don't do that, then we're just going to give it up again. So let's take a look at this. Last week we did, I think last week we looked into the committee man, and the week before we looked into the committee of safety as far as organizing the committee of safety. Tonight we're going to look at the purpose of the committee of safety. So, by the way, I think when I hit that mic, Terry and Jan, when I click my mic off, I think it stops the audio from my computer going out into, you know, this program. So that's a new feature. I just discovered it this past week. So But I guess I just discovered a flaw and a problem with it. I'll give them a call and talk to them about that and see if they can't fix that. Okay, anyway, let's go forward with our program for the night. Presentations on radio safety. And if this sound isn't coming through, let me know.
Committees of Safety Revisited in 2016. The National Liberty Alliance would like to bring the concept of county committees of safety to the attention of the people of the United States.
All right, let me get a confirmation. Sound is coming through, correct? I just paused it. Sound is coming through?
Yes, it is coming through.
Okay, I'm unpausing it.
Thomas Jefferson said, "An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for its citizens." End quote. Thus, it is the community that must educate its people, protect its people, provide for the safety of its people. That is what a committee of safety does. Committees of safety, what are they? Committee, a group of people who are to consider or manage any matter. Safety, freedom from danger, injury, or damage, safekeeping. Therefore, by definition, a committee of safety would be people who felt obligated to volunteer to consider or manage any matter of safety and to include the aspects of freedom from danger, injury, or damage, and the safekeeping of liberty. When we revisit pre-United States constitutional body politic by the people for the era of 1760 to 1789 and the understanding the function of a committee of safety, we see that a present-day application going forward in 2016 needs to be enacted across the nation to reinstate our founding principles. Committees of safety empower the people at the grassroots to take control of their local government and their state and federal representatives by requiring them to obey the supreme law of the land. U.S. Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2 states, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." Committees of safety, they are the community assemblies established in the absence of the ability of the existing governments to provide for the needs of civilized society. They are the civil bodies politic. On the voyage from England to America, the Pilgrims created a civil body politic, the Mayflower Compact. Jamestown also had a civil bodied politic. Committees of safety. We come forth today to encourage and advise the people to form committees of safety across the nation to assist and educate county, town, and city governments about the constitutional chain of command in times of a national disaster. Such a disaster in the form of a monetary collapse is looming just around the corner. Time is limited, and with over 323 million people in 19,000 cities and towns in 3,133 counties, it will not be possible for the federal and or state governments to provide for all the myriad needs that such a collapse would bring. Only the people, working hand in hand with their neighbors and within their county's constitutional chain of command, can make such a task both practical and manageable with any degree of compassion and success at the local level. Committees of safety. Committees of safety, historically speaking, empowered the people at the grassroots to return control to their local government, to the people. National Liberty Alliance, being a facilitator of education in American history and law, is endeavoring to provide all the necessary education, counseling, and tools necessary to empower the grassroots with self-governance. It is interesting to note the important role the Committees of Safety played in the ultimate transformation from English-controlled colonies into a republican form of representative government under self-rule and not the centuries-old dictates of hereditary despots. The peasants of colonial America went from slaves to the English king to king of their own castle within one generation. Committees of Safety. The slave to self-rule mindset resulted from the publication of a single document, Common Sense, by Thomas Paine, published January the 10th, 1776. Thomas Paine declared to the colonists and to King George that things should be different from here on out. He said, and I quote, "Man doesn't need a king to rule over them," end quote, and it stuck. His bestseller was read by every colonist in America, all 3 million, or it was read to them if they were illiterate. This single document did more to form this country than any other document at that time. It pumped new life into the colonies and gave everyone hope for a brave new future. By mid-year 1776, the formal Declaration of Independence was drafted and making its way through the colonies for signatures and ratification, passing into law, thus initiating the American experiment with a republican form of government. Committees of Safety. Why do we need them today? To bring forth the knowledge of the chain of command during a national emergency. To ensure the safety of every man, woman, and child when a national disaster occurs. To provide aid and comfort, mercy, and compassion to the city folks who will be fleeing nearby cities seeking safe harbor, food, and water. To keep families together, not relocated to FEMA camps where compassion will not be a priority. To aid in the distribution of food and medical services, utilizing a barter system until such time our representative government can return to normalcy with a constitutional monetary system, i.e. gold and silver. Committees of Safety. Why we need them today. Most communities of safety will be different as different areas of the country have different circumstances, constituents, and economic needs. However, all the needs are basic: food, water, and shelter. This is the urgent need we have before us. We must form quickly and educate everyone within the counties to identify the chain of command that begins at the doorstep of the county sheriff. See www.powerofthecountysheriff.com. Committees of Safety. Why we need them today. What if we have a natural or man-made disaster that disabled local government and emergency services? What if our local law enforcement were taken over by FEMA or Homeland Security? What if Agenda 21 had its way? What if the federal government were to initiate martial law? If acted upon early enough, a Committee of Safety would be able to prevent government-created problems and work with the sheriffs under posse comitatus. Committees of Safety in Times of Trouble. In 1774, the various Committees of Safety called for the First Continental Congress. Delegates to the Congress went from town to country to provincial level committees before being selected to go to Philadelphia. In western Massachusetts, Committees of Safety forced the resignation of judges appointed under the Massachusetts Government Act, 1774. Committees of Safety in Times of Troubles. Subcommittees, such as the one in Worcester County, threatened to declare independence from British rule unless the Massachusetts government restored its original charter, 1774. On April 12, 1775, just 1 week before the Battle of Lexington Concord, John Hancock, president of the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, later the Massachusetts Provincial Committee of Safety, requested that all counties, towns, and districts form committees of safety. It is interesting to note that all who signed the Declaration of Independence were members of the Committee of Safety. Committees of Safety in Times of Trouble. Cambridge, April 29, 1775. This may certify to the Barrow, Mr. Paul Revere is the messenger to the Committee of Safety, and that all dispatch and assistance be given him in the instances that the business of the colony may be facilitated. Joseph Warren, Chair. Committees of Safety. Potential of the committees. Representation. United we stand. Organization. Communications. Coordination. Education. Establishment of the principles of honor, justice, and mercy. Presentation of resolutions. Correspondence with other committees. Demanding local government obedience to the Constitution. Assist the sheriff and posse comitatus in times of trouble. Committees of Safety. Potential of the committees. The people of each county need to form and actively create a civil body politic regarding communications, food and water storage, command structure, law enforcement protocol with sheriffs as the chief administrator. The committee needs to maintain plans, means, and manpower prepared to protect the community should the need arise. Committees of Safety for Community Security. Would your community want to wait for and depend upon FEMA management in the event of a flood, hurricane, tornado, or other natural disaster? Would you want an adequate local response to assist law enforcement in the event of rampant crime? Would you want readily available community-based cooperative food production, preservation, and storage to meet the needs of your community in the event of food shortages? Would you want a readily available solution in the event of interruptions in water and power supplies? Would you want a well-armed and regulated militia to defend your community in the event of the UN or foreign country invading your community? Committees of Safety, Cultural Challenges. Now is the time to institute neighborhood committees of safety and address issues which government ignores or inadequately or wrongfully addresses. The concept of committees of safety is rapidly spreading across the country as a result of the degradation of social, political, and economic conditions. The neighborhood, second to the family, is the most basic level of community life. Alarmingly, this institutionalized concept of problem management has reduced neighborly interdependence and self-reliance to the lowest level ever seen in American history. Committees of Safety, Cultural Challenges. The false illusion of affluence in the absence of war on American soil prevents the added challenge of false security and apathy towards the need of preparedness for community safety. It is therefore nearly impossible for most Americans to visualize what life would be like if we were under attack in our homes. Store shelves were empty, most businesses were closed, and there was no electricity. Take a moment to visualize this now. Committees of Safety, the coming storm. Currently, there are 323 million people living in America, as our country experiences the worst economic downturn since 1929. Our country is already experiencing a severe recession that will almost inevitably develop into a full-blown depression. Even depression inadequately describes what may lie ahead. There are a myriad global and domestic indicators strongly suggesting that people should consider preparing to survive a social or economic storm of cataclysmic proportions. Committees of Safety, a storm passed. In 1929, the bankers withdrew the money supply, putting Americans into a depression that lasted through World War II. it would be 1954 before the stock market would return to 1929 levels. Businesses and jobs went south. Unemployment reached a high of 25%. Back then, most Americans grew their own food and lived and worked near home. There was only one breadwinner per family. Families were much larger, with generations living under the same roof. An ounce of gold sold for $20.64 worth of silver. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and disability did not exist. The people were slender and ate healthy food. Fast food and processed foods didn't exist. No one owned a credit card. Many had no indoor plumbing, running water, electricity, and only a party line phone. Most didn't own a refrigerator, and meals were made from scratch. People were self-reliant, and products we used were made in America. Committees of safety, a storm is coming. When the dollar collapses, things will be different for a lot of folks, presently on Social Security, Medicare, and government subsidies, disability, Medicaid, food stamps, farm subsidies, public housing, and mandatory monthly medications. Those needing 24/7 care will require a safety net to catch them. The able body will have to return to work just to eat and survive. Growing their own food will be a must. Communication skills will have to be learned. Cell phones and internet may cease to exist. There will be gas shortages. Products and parts that we use today made elsewhere won't be available. Many businesses will close. Children may have to drop out of school. The time to form committees of safety is now. It will be a time when we all need to come together. Committees of Safety, the coming storm. If such a cataclysmic event occurs, transportation and distribution of goods and sources of power for lighting, cooking, and heat will be unavailable. At that moment, each person's personal preparedness, as well as the community's preparedness, will determine the severity of the difficulty endured until normalcy can be restored. Committees of Safety, the coming storm. Each person in the community must decide, will I be paralyzed by fear, remain unprepared and fall prey to adversaries, or will I begin to prepare now to survive any disruption I and my neighbors are able to foresee? Committees of Safety, the coming storm. People living in the cities will flee to the countryside to escape the mayhem of hungry mobs roaming the streets in search of food. Rural towns need to be prepared to receive this overflow with compassion and mercy in order to house and feed them in their times of desperation. All will need to go back to work in order to survive until a sense of normalcy returns. Barter of goods and services will feed the nation for the time being. Committees of Safety, be prepared. If you want safety, prepare for safety. Establish subcommittees, develop plans, write and execute resolutions. Create a committee of correspondence to communicate solutions and unify. Maintain at least one shortwave communications in your county. Everyone should have a shortwave receiver and a radio. Plant gardens and maintain a list of carpenters, pharmacists, dentists, doctors, farmers, mechanics, firemen, etc., in preparation for the need to barter and collectively help one another in the community during emergent times. Do not leave governance to the government. Oversee all that occurs in your community. Take charge. Hold public servants to serving the community in a manner that proves them to be in good behavior. Committees of Safety, be prepared. If you want safety, prepare for safety. Everyone is encouraged to contribute their individual experience to the whole of the community. Elders and seniors have experience and wisdom to contribute. VFW, DAV, American Legionnaires have a history and heart to serve. The service of each person in the community combines to assure that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness continues for their posterity. Retired veterans may wish to be of service again if needed. Now is a time we all need to be of service. Committees of safety, be prepared. If you want peace, prepare for war. Each community needs all able-bodied to join an existing militia or start one. Demand the fulfillment of the constitutional obligation of the government to adequately arm and regulate the militia. Should the government fail to do so, the Committee of Safety must meet the need to prepare now to defend the community and liberty. Tomorrow may be too late. Committees of Safety, be prepared. Our Constitution is in danger. We must reclaim our Constitution from all attacks, foreign and domestic, for those who are to follow. Start, join a Committee of Safety. The service and experience of each person in the community is needed now. Committees of Safety, be prepared. The United States of America is now 225 years beyond its founding documents. Times and technology have changed. The responsibility of government by the people has not. Committees of Safety, preserve liberty. We the people. Samuel Adams said, "If ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will be in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin." End quote. Committees of Safety, act now. Committee of Correspondence, make an emergency plan now. Assure communication and response. Website, Internet, emergency scanner, shortwave radio, mobile communication. Committees of Safety, act now. Develop a relationship with your county sheriff. Invite the sheriff to your meetings. Make written resolutions. Talk to the sheriff about securing the Constitution. Talk to the sheriff about posse comitatus and the role of the militia. Work out emergency plans with the sheriff. Require that the sheriff and deputies take a Constitution course. Committees of Safety, act now. Local government. Attend village, town, city, and county meetings in large numbers. Serve them with the Committee of Safety resolutions. Require their obedience to the law of the land, the Constitution. The Committee of Safety may petition the common law grand jury to resolve issues of bad behavior. Committees of Safety, act now. We the people. The experience and expertise of each member of any community is the greatest resource of that community. Develop your list of community resources and prepare for their use in troubled times. Committees of Safety, act now. Common law by the grace of God. National Liberty Alliance. The purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to facilitate education, communications, principles and organization nationally at the grassroots level in order to enable the people to exercise their unalienable right of oversight and save our republic. National Liberty Alliance is a national assembly of we the people with a presence in every state of the nation working to develop grassroots independence. National Liberty Alliance is providing knowledge and tools for the organizing of the independent grassroots control of county jury administrations, county committees of safety, and the committeemen. National Liberty Alliance's motto is, as the people become principled and educated, the people must increase and National Liberty Alliance must decrease. Committees of Safety, the Grassroots Solution. The Independent Grassroots County Committee of Safety and the County Common Law Grand Jury are part of National Liberty Alliance plan to reach an active critical mass of people to take back their government. The Common Law Grand Jury is working in the federal courts exposing the enemies of liberty, both foreign and domestic, in an effort to collapse their wall of resistance and take back our judiciary. The Committees of Safety is needed to fill the vacuum with the people, thereby taking back control at the grassroots level. Our government is still intact. It's just shrouded by a veil of corporatism. Committees of Safety and the Committeemen. National Liberty Alliance has discovered the power of the Committee of Safety is the very same tactic that our founding fathers used to take control of their local government. These committeemen built the nation we inherited and stand to lose to tyrants today if we don't do something about it now. National Liberty Alliance is engaged in a nationwide effort within every county to support a true grassroots movement to vote people into the real power, the local government, that will take control of our federal government through the resurrection of the Committees of Safety. Committees of Safety and the Committeemen. National Liberty Alliance has also discovered that the Committees of Safety, after achieving its goal of building a nation in 1789, morphed into the committeemen that control our political process today. In 1796, George Washington, when leaving office, warned against unprincipled men seizing control of the very same power that lifted them up, the committeemen, quote unquote. In 1911, these unprincipled men succeeded, and we the people lost all political control of our nation. National Liberty Alliance has a viable plan working through the rebuilding of the Committees of Safety to return this political control and the committeemen back to the people. Committees of Safety and the committeemen. Only the people can save America. We the people must unite with the independence of grassroots control, with an uncontrolling national presence and a viable plan using the very implementations that created this great nation to take back the judicial and political power without the politics. The time to take a stand has come. 2016 will be the year that we will answer the questions: do we still have a constitution? Are we still a free people? Will we save liberty for our posterity? These answers depend upon your action or inaction today, because tomorrow will be too late. Committees of Safety, the Grassroots Solution. Preparation. Organize a committee of safety in your county. A committee of safety can be formed by any of the people in your county. Invite local liberty group members to join your committee of safety. Enjoy the free constitutional course at nationallibertyalliance.org. Enjoy the free civics course at nationallibertyalliance.org. Exercise the principles of the governor of the universe. Develop committees of correspondence to communicate with people and with other committees of safety. Develop a close alliance with your sheriff and invite him to your meetings. Make an alliance with your county common law grand jury administration. Find out more information and tools at nationallibertyalliance.org/COS. Committees of Safety, final word. Develop committees of safety. Be prepared, organize, and communicate. Be safe in times of trouble. Survive the coming storm. Preserve liberty. Act now for the community security. The Grassroots Solution. Create resolutions. Meet the challenge. Go to www.nationallibertyalliance.org/COS. Committees of Safety, final word. Committees of Safety are the solution to America's problems of out-of-control governments. They are on the rise all across America. With National Liberty Alliance already established in every state and its current campaign to alert and share its concepts with liberty-minded groups that are already well established in almost every county in the nation, it is a foregone conclusion that before the end of 2016, Committees of Safety will be established in almost every American county. With the Community of Safety subcommittees of correspondents, they will unite and prepare America to weather any storm the New World Order can raise. Do it.
Okay. All right, that obviously needs to be updated. We did that back in 2016, and we never fully organized, but right now we are pressing very heavily, so maybe we'll put that 2021. All right, before we go to see what questions we may have, I'm going to be leaving tonight's program by about a quarter after 10. I was invited just today on a radio program, and Gerard will be taking over. Gerard, are you here, by the way? Gerard will be taking over, and I'll try to get back after the radio program. I don't know how long I'm going to be on it for, but it's a great opportunity. It's got a large listenership. I see you here. Okay. But I'm going to be passing things on to you shortly. I just want to quickly go through a couple of things we're working on. And again, this committee is a safety that we're really pressing along. We're pushing really hard now. We really have to develop this throughout the nation. We have a great opportunity. We are getting some reasonably good responses, but we need more response. But we need lots of people to create committees of safety within their county. For instance, right now, you can see here we have a total of 29 committees of safeties being organized right now as we speak since we started this campaign a couple of weeks ago. So that's not too bad, but we need more. Okay. And as I mentioned to National Liberty Alliance's leadership, we need to make sure all of us, anybody, I've already started my Committee of Safety, started to prepare for it. It is kind of hard in certain places, like here in New York, we're having a difficult time trying to find a place to meet because they have all these restrictions and stuff still in place. But we hope that that will be eased up pretty soon. So some people might be held back by that, but that doesn't mean you can't start organizing, you can't start, you know, by phone and communicating with individuals and preparing for your first meeting. I mean, you can even get together on Zoom or whatever with the people within your county and start discussing ideas, reviewing the page that we put together, which is right here under People's Duty, and you come down and click on Organizing Your County Committee of Safety. And the video you just saw is right here up on the website. You can watch it again, but again, we should replace the date in this thing to 2021 maybe. But that's going to take a while before we get to, because I think we'll have to redo the whole video, put the voiceover back over the PowerPoint. It's a PowerPoint video. But here's a comprehensive plan to save our republic. We went through this a couple of weeks ago, and last week we went through the committee man. I think maybe in a week or so we're going to talk about the administration for the juries. And again, tonight we really want to just cover the idea on why committees of safety are so important, what the history is behind it, and how our nation was created through committees of safety. Now, we wrote a handbook, and I just updating this handbook. We added quite a few pages, and we've updated things. And, you know, every time you look at something you put together and you can kind of make it better, or you can say it better, or sometimes we find some errors we have to correct. But we're going to bring this handbook up. I've been working on this. When did I start working? Well, just this past on the 4th, so last week I started working on this. Now, again, I haven't got this ready to put up on the website yet. It will be going up on the website hopefully tomorrow. I got a couple of pieces of information I need to add into this book, and once it's done, then I'll be posting it. So I'll send out an email once that gets posted so everybody will know that this booklet is available. It's a PDF booklet. It's 72 pages, and it gets into very detailed information about the committees of safety, about the committee men, about the grand juries and the trial juries, about the militia and having a relationship with the sheriff and how to develop that relationship and what we're going to do here at National Liberty Alliance to prepare your sheriff for that relationship. But the Committee of Safety Handbook, again, it's got a lot of information in it. I'm just going to skim through it. I'm not going to read through any of this tonight. Just to look at some of the titles maybe here. We have the Committee of Safety County Organization and an introduction. So let me just go down to the organization. And this is the Committee of Safety County Organization right here. This page and I believe the next page, here's the structure. And what we're looking to take back, you know, in order to control our country, to take back control of our federal government and even our local government, okay, we have to take back the judicial control, the judicial process. And what a lot of people don't realize is that in a court of law, there are no elected individuals or appointed individuals in that room that can say anything or make any kind of a conclusion in that court. It is totally 100% up to the jury, the trial jury, the petit jury, 12 people. There is no judge in a court of law. And if you're in a court of law and there's a man sitting up there called a judge and he's making decisions on you in a criminal case particularly, okay, then you're not in a court of record and you are not in a court of law. You're in a civil law court. And that's what they took control of back in 1938 through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. So we need to take it back, and the people need to decide. You see, the people decide on innocence or guilt of an individual. They also get to decide whether they like the law or not. You know, certain individuals' law can be applied upon. If it's a commercial, someone in commercial activity or in some kind of a government agency, and they're controlled by codes and statutes and regulations, and they break those codes and statutes and regulations and maybe commit a crime or something, well, it's up to the people, not the judge, the people to decide. Okay, anytime it becomes criminal, it goes to a court of law. Other than that, different disputes and situations for people who are working in the commercial activities or in some kind of a government agency, whether it's a federal agency or a state agency, then they're under equity. And that's where a judge sits in, can make decisions, and that decision can be appealed. And in the process of being appealed, they also have a second appellate process. So you can appeal it up and then a final appeal process up to the Supreme Court if they'll hear it. So there's a lot of an appeal process in that system. All administrative courts are appealable. Numerous appeals are available. But in a court of law, there is no appeal. The decision is final. And that court case cannot be reheard. The only time a judge, a Supreme Court judge, would get involved in a case like that would someone's trying to get an appeal or something or claiming that someone's been violated in some way is only when there is a unalienable right violation within the case. And then that can be considered and dealt with by a court, which would be the Supreme Court. In the federal, it would be the United States Supreme Court, and on the state, it would be the state Supreme Court. But other than a violation of someone's unalienable rights being violated somehow, nothing can be second-guessed. Nothing can be overturned. We hear of cases overturned, but in courts of law, they cannot be. Our nation took a 180-degree turn back in 1938, and our courts have been destroyed. But anyway, the people decide the law, okay? So if a law is being applied upon an individual who is under law, you know, under the statutes that was legislated in some kind of activity, the people could decide whether they like that law or not. They can do away with it and call it whatever they want, so they can negate it. It's called jury nullification. They can nullify it. Political process. We the people need to be controlling 100%. That's what the committeemen do. 100% control. Telling them what they can do, what they can't do. If they don't obey, we pull them out of office. Or we can threaten them that we're not going to walk their papers no more. They're out of office after that term. If the term is coming up close, maybe that's the way to go. You know, or we can recall them, throw them out of office, and bring someone else in. That's government by consent. But we must organize the committees of safety, and also we have to work with the militia on the county level and fuse together on the state level. and work all that out. We need to have the unorganized militia, and we need to have access to that militia, not only through ourselves, through the committees of safety ourselves, but also for the sheriff to have access to that was under posse comitatus. And again, education also, it's up to the committees of safety to make sure everybody in the community is being educated, understanding how things work and understanding their heritage and the court system and the political process, and that everybody should be able to take care of this business and get involved. And it's our duty to get involved. We don't deserve liberty if we're not going to get involved, if we're not going to take control of the direction that we are taking, that this nation has taken, that our state has taken, that our local community has taken. If we're not going to get involved in that and make sure it goes the way that it should go towards the benefit of we, the people, then we don't deserve this liberty that God has given us. And truly God has given us this liberty. Man cannot achieve it on his own. Our liberty is a blessing from God, and it's written such and says so in the Constitution, right into the preamble. Okay, anyway, going back to this paper, we have an introduction which briefly goes through some of the history that we heard today, and also history of the committee man and a few other things. So we have the introduction, we have the history, committee of safety concept, critical mindset. That's very important to have that proper committee of critical mindset. Maybe I'll take a quick look at that. That's on page 13 here. If I can find it, maybe it's not on 13. Concept. Okay, oh, here it is. It's on 14. I have to double-check these pages. I just want to read through this, a couple of these things here. Don't ask what are the limits of our power. Liberty knows no limits. We simply do what is honest and expedient. The people need no permission to act. Yes, we can make it up as we go and as we see fit. That's the prerogative of a king. And we, the people, are kings of our own lives. And we are not under any statutes or regulations or any kind of a code that the government might write up, any kind of legislative authorities and powers and laws that they might make has nothing to do with us. We are not to be held liable to them, and their prosecutors have no business coming after we the people by going to the grand jury requesting an indictment. That's the job of the sheriff. And if some prosecuting attorney seems to think that they have some issue that needs to be brought before the grand jury, they need to bring it to the sheriff, and the sheriff needs to review that and bring it to the jury unbiasedly, because you see there's a disconnect at that point. And we should have a good relationship with that sheriff, so that he's not going to participate in their criminal activities like going after an individual using the courts unrighteously. Okay, I'm not going to read any more of that mindset, but that was the key point of that mindset. We are free to decide on what we want to do and what is right and what is wrong, and we have to do the just things. But anyway, it goes on. Organizing the safety committee talks about how to get a seal, what the seal should look like. Every committee of safety should have a seal. They should have a letterhead. Again, we did the same thing. They should have a website. We've provided access to a place. We create a website that has a lot of controls that they can use to communicate with the people within their group and send messages out and do all kinds of things through the meetup groups. So we're using their venue. So that's the online venue, which creates a website. We should have a virtual. Every committee should have a virtual phone system, and so we got information on setting that up, and what to do in your first meeting, and what the accomplishment needs to be done. Approaching your sheriff, there has to be certain accomplishments that you have to get to before you can approach the sheriff. I mean, for instance, go back to our website here. And look under people's duty and come down to organizing your county committee of safety, you'll find that we have information on the committee of safety charter, and we also have committee of safety resolutions. And that has to be accomplished and agreed to by the committee, and they have to have their seal, their letterhead, their phone, everything, an address, a PO box. Everything needs to be in place. And by that time, we should have already had the books going to the sheriff. We're looking to get a book on government by consent. We have a group of sheriffs working with us to do that job. They're going to write a letter introducing, and the book and National Liberty Alliance and the courses we have and the committees of safety in their counties that are being built. So they will already be primed by the time you get to this point. To get to this point is going to take at least 2 months. And trying to get your first meeting up may take a little while because, again, this, you know, the invisible enemy here, that China enemy. So, you know, until we get past that and can start meeting, it's going to take about 2 months to develop to a place where you're comfortable and you have your card charted done, your resolutions, and all the necessary things put in place. And then when you approach the sheriff, he's going to understand exactly who you are and what you are by looking at the charter, seeing the righteousness and the justnesses of it, and that the people's is ruled by, you know, government by consent. And again, they should have already been primed by that point by having the book, you know, the government by consent. So again, you know, there is a time. There are people who have asked, well, I'd like to buy the book and give it to the sheriff myself. That's not a good idea. I mean, it sounds nice and so on and so forth. But if your committee of safety is just approaching the sheriff and they're bringing the book, first of all, it's not one of them bringing the book. We need to have a sheriff talk to sheriff. They can bear witness of what's in that book, bear witness of National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing in our courses. And then they can, in return, you know, after being given witness, they'll be feel confident to take a big look at this thing, what's going on, and advise them that committees of safety is being developed in their counties, and when they're ready and prepared, they will be approaching them. So that's the way we really need to do it. I mean, we're not going to refuse anyone who wants to buy two books or whatever and give it to their sheriff. We'll give it to them, and they can do what they want with it. But we're still going to do a book anyway to that sheriff. We got to make sure we get the book into the hands of all 3,133 or 34 counties. And we want to make sure that they get this from, you know, one of their own, another sheriff, because it has a lot more meat to it, a lot more. It means a lot more. All right, anyway, we get in here discussing and organizing things and what true consent of government is, setting up the jury administrators, recreating and resetting up, shall I say, the militia, and the plan to take back control of the parties, and quite a few other things, our founding fathers and the political parties, what they thought about political parties, and they thought there was a disaster. It was the last thing that America would need. And what did we do? We fell asleep, and we allowed that enemy to get into our doors. The two major enemies that have destroyed this nation, and actually it's really one, it's the Bar Association. They have seized control of our courts, and they have destroyed a natural law. They've seized control of all three branches of government on the federal level and on the state levels, and they've destroyed all connections with the people, and they did that through political parties, private associations that George Washington warned us about. He warned us with no uncertain terms. He was very, very clear, and we cover that in this paper, and we cover that also in our book, and we cover that on our website. So we should be listening to our founding fathers. We need to return back, and returning back to where they were and what they created starts with the creation of committees of safety. And we should never let loose of the committee of safety. The committee of safety is the glue that holds everything together in the county. The committee of safety sets up a committee of correspondence so that all of the committees of safety have some communications going back and forth between them, and then up with National Liberty Alliance, which is delivering a lot of information back out to the other committees as we share and learn things and share it out with other counties and maybe better ideas and better ways to do things. Of course, each committee of safety decides how they do things within their own counties, unadulterated, untouched, undemanded by anybody else on the outside. National Liberty Alliance is only a facilitator of that education, a facilitator of that place where we can come together and communicate and get that information and to help organize everyone and to connect all those organizations. And each county has their own personal problems or concerns that they have to deal with, town problems. I know in my county we have, if I remember, let me think, I think it was 19 towns and three cities. Two cities. We have 19 towns and two cities in my county, Dutchess County. And all of that needs to be brought under the control, and between the workings of the Committee of Safety, working with the committeemen, which operate in every single election district in that in within your county, and working with the administrators, and working with the sheriff, and working with the militia, and a plan for emergencies. I mean, and we cover all of this stuff: the emergencies, what kind of emergencies could come up, what kind of plans we should make, and how we approach the town. I mean, we cover all of that. And I think we cover it all in the book, definitely between the book and the pages that we have up on our website, which, again, let me show you. It's under People's Duty. All of these things under the People's Duty, okay? These are all the things that people need to know, read, and learn about, okay? And on our page, Organizing Your County, okay, we will put a place right up here. We're going to put it up where you can download this Committee of Safety Handbook. Okay, with that, I'm going to end that. I think next week I'm going to not necessarily get into teaching anything particular. I think we're going to go and catch up on all of the we have a lot of questions that came in through email, and we haven't been able to get to them. We've been really putting a lot of time into learning and teaching and then going into some open forums here, and things are short, so we haven't picked up on enough of those. But I think next week we're going to spend maybe a half hour trying to catch up on all these questions that people have had. And then the following week we'll pick up on the administrations for the grand jury and get into the details probably of that particular subject. We've got lots of subjects to discuss. And every time we have any kind of a subject that we're discussing that's important, you can find those copies of the video with the audio of tonight's programming and the last few that we've been doing right here under People's Duty, Organizing Your County, and then coming over to Instructional Video Conferences. And so this week we'll be put up here on the top of the list. Last week was the committeemen. Before that was Organizing Your County. Before that, Grand Jury Authority, Government by Consent, Final Warning to the U.S. Supreme Court, and Political Parties. If anybody hasn't seen these, you need to go back and watch them in your spare time, particularly the political parties, because they are such a big problem. They are never, ever, ever were meant to be in a natural law republic. A natural law republic has no need for political parties as far as private associations. We have the committeemen to take control of this whole process. They need not discuss anything, okay? If the states want to discuss things and think that we need some kind of a convention to add something to the Constitution or something, that's fine. That can be a dialogue they can have amongst themselves and work that out and bring it in and go through the process that the Constitution has laid out. But we don't need Congress trying to supplant our Second Amendment or our First Amendment, which both are being trampled on right now as we speak. They are so bold, they're doing it right in front of us, and they don't care. And you know what? They know there's not a darn thing you can do about it. We're just poor little slaves here sitting here and can't do nothing. We have no power. We have no weapon. We have nothing. You know, the only thing we have is the Second Amendment, that when it finally comes to that point, and God forbid that, but nevertheless, we have nothing. So we are counting on the plan that is in play right now, and we better, sure as heck, we better take control of this nation. We better develop our committees of safety. We better take control of our government. We better have government by consent and being able to fire these people and get rid of these people before they create such a problem. And so we'll discuss those things a lot more as we go forward, but for right now, I'm going to move over to Gerard. I'm going to pass the things over to you, Gerard. And is Brent in here? Is Brent here? Does anyone know?
I don't know. Let me see.
He wasn't seen at the last look.
He said he was going to be here tonight.
Thanks. Well, you can work that out if he comes in and give him some time. I'm going to kind of pass things over to you and bail out because I got to go to the radio program. And, you know, the program goes till midnight. I don't know whether I'll be talking till midnight, but if they give me that opportunity, I will. And share with those people what we have and what we're doing and the need for it. Okay? All right, so it's over to you, Gerard.
Okay, hang on a minute. I got to get my screen up.
Right, I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to see if I can't leave myself in here while I'm on Skype. I should be able to. And I think the problem we had, I don't know if I mentioned this, I think it did, but anyway, I think the problem we had with that audio not working was when I muted my mic, the audio went off. That's weird. So I don't think these people test the programs that do the interface, you know, these techs. Okay, you got everything?
I got it. I got it.
I guess we can go into Q&A or whatever you want to do, and when a friend comes in, you can give him some time. All right, I'm muting, and I'll see what happens if I can be back.
Hang on. Can you hear me? I think I lost my audio. Can everybody hear me?
Can now.
Oh. Just blanked out for a second. Okay, well, there's lots of things going on.
Just so you know, I stopped sharing my screen in case you want to share yours. But
okay, you thank you. Part of what John's doing is a local radio station and a local guy that him and his wife got arrested for refusing to wear a mask in the health food store. And they arrested him for trespass. And he's got a very good case because they're misapplying the statute. And, you know, that's part of what he's going after. Plus, the statute allows for it. They both had health conditions that precludes them from wearing a mask. She had breast cancer that went into her lungs. And we went down to the case that he forced outside of the courthouse because he refused to wear a mask, so they had to do it outside. And she was dead 2 weeks later. They got a big problem. And what's good about this case is it's local, and it's in New York, and they don't have a leg to stand on. And it's going to set some precedences to ending this mask crap that's out there. And so we need to stay on top of it and follow it, because I think it's very important, you know, that we do that, and that this is one of the beginnings of the pushback of We the People. And make no mistake about it, nothing's going to change until we push back. Donald Trump is not going to win this thing for us. We have to win it, and that's why we have to start in our counties, because that's where the beginning of government starts for us, is at the county level. You know, we don't have a lot of influence at the state, but we can certainly control the counties. And actually, if we control our counties, then we control our state. And look at Texas. You see that Texas told the federal government to go pound salt, and there's nothing they can do about it. You know, Biden told them to open up the jails and let the immigrants out and blah, blah, blah. And Texas said, we're not doing that. We're going to arrest them. And what's Biden going to do about it? What's he going to start a civil war? Not that Biden's doing anything about anything. He's just a zombie that they march out when they need him. And it's pretty pathetic. It's a pretty pathetic show we're watching. But anyway, I know Brent had some comments on that. That he wanted to give tonight. He must not have got there yet, but he had some interesting insights as far as all the rumors and things that are out there. But there's lots of noise and lots of stuff to file through. But if you're good at going through data, you can come up with the truth, because there's a thread that runs through it. And once you get so you trust some of these alternative news sources that have good, reliable sources that they're not necessarily revealing, but they'll tell you that they're pretty high source in the government. And you can pretty much find a thread of truth in these things. And I'll open up the question and answer in a minute. But, you know, there was a commentary that one guy did on Biden when he was signing the executive orders in the Oval Office, and we're not even sure it was the Oval Office. It looks like it was a movie studio, you know, the Castle Rock movie studio, for those of you that have been keeping up with this. But, you know, he's got Pelosi on one side and the Democratic minority leader and Kamala Harris all on either side of him and watching what he's doing, making sure he signs the thing. And he mutters, I don't even know what I'm signing because he's not there. He's not his own man. And so they make sure he signs these orders that he doesn't even know what he's signing. And then when he gets up to go out, there's a row of military, you know, Marines, and they got their back to him, which is weird because they're supposed to, you know, a Marine will not move when he's in formation. It has to be called out by the leader in the front, which would say about face, you know, right turn and salute. You know, they would salute then. Well, they didn't salute him and they didn't turn around. And I don't know why that happened or who arranged that. But as Biden's going through, passing them with their backs to him, he says, salute the Marines. And people were like, why would he say such a thing? And then somebody realized, they said, he's got an earpiece in. And he's so stupid, he's repeating what they're telling him to do. That's how crazy he is. They said in his ear, salute the Marines. And he goes, salute the Marines. This is what we're dealing with. It's ridiculous. And I believe that's true because I saw the clips before I saw the explanation. And the explanation makes a lot of sense to me because he was like lost. He didn't know which way to turn or which way to go. It was like he didn't have his mind. And so they're using him as a puppet. And probably that's a necessity because any man in his right mind would not be willing to do this stuff because he knows that he's committing treason and that his life would be worth nothing. And I believe that Biden is the only man for the job, just like Trump was the only man for the job that he did. Biden is the only one that doesn't have enough of a mind to make a decision that will do the crazy stuff that they're telling him to do because he can't resist, because he's just a hollow shell. He's not really a man. He's just following orders. Anyway, that's my take on things. And we'll see how that plays out. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead. I don't see that Brent is here, but if he comes in, I'll open him up. So we have a few people in the queue. And it looks like Greg is in there first. So go ahead and open you up, Greg. Okay, go ahead, Greg. Where are you... No, it says Cuniver, so. Hello, are you there? You've been unmuted. Cuniver 1, I hear you. Hello, hello. Let me just mute him and unmute him a couple times. Well, we're going to have to, he's not paying attention or something. I hear noise coming out of his mic, but it doesn't sound like he is. Is it Omniverse or Cuniverse 1? All right, let me try to get Greg going because Cuniverse is not responding here. Okay, Greg, go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Hello, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Okay. This is my first Monday night meeting. I just joined you guys a few weeks ago, and I'm very excited to be a member, and I hope to achieve being a jury administrator as well as most likely many other roles. I am a member of my local militia in East Tennessee. And I do comms mainly for them, as well as intelligence gathering. But I do have a question.
Okay. See if I can answer it, if I can. Go ahead.
Okay, my question has to do with standing, we the people. So under the current situation that we have in the United States, we really have... You know, if you look at the Constitution, really, there's like four parties. There's God, there is the government, there is the citizenry, and then there is we the people, the ones that grant the government the ability to do anything.
Well, besides God, we the people are the only ones with the complete sovereignty.
Yes.
The rest of them have eclipsed sovereignty. They act like they have complete sovereignty, but they don't. It's really we the people, and we make the decisions. It doesn't stop with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court cannot overrule we the people. I just know everybody thinks that the Supreme Court has the last word. No, they do not. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, so my question is about education. Mm-hmm. So I have learned, you know, over an immense amount of study, although it's rather simple in concept, that my standing is American national. I am a we the people. I am not a citizen. So, but most people believe they are a citizen, which puts them into this contract situation where they're contracted with this kind of crazy government system that was established in the late 1800s and should be removed. So do we have an education plan that teaches the difference between the two to show kind of what happened and where people should be as far as understanding what their standing is as a we the people?
Well, listen, that whole citizen argument was something that they put up there just to cloud the water. Our forefathers used the word citizen, but of course, you know, with the illegal corporation that they put in, they turned it into something else. And if you read our paperwork that we go into court with, that's all explained.
Right.
We're not second class, and we come first.
Right.
You know, they will never admit that you're something else other than, you know, they will not admit in court what you're talking about.
Because no, I know they won't in court, and it's not really, my question isn't about the court.
Uh-huh.
It's about, like, my mother, she's 81 years old. Uh-huh. I mean, she's thoroughly brainwashed into thinking or knowing in her mind that she has to have a driver's license. She has to pay taxes. She, you know, has to abide by
all this. You've got to bring her back to before that, because back
when
she didn't need that. She should, if maybe she doesn't remember, but those things were not required. Those laws are basically for the government. They're not for we the people.
Right, right.
When they're operating one of the cars that we the people own, they're driving for the county, that's speed limits for them. We don't want them driving our cars too fast. But as far as you and I, we're supposed to use discretion that a normal person would use, and we're not supposed to do anything that's dangerous. And once you do that, you can be pulled over and you can be stopped.
Sure, of course.
But at that point, you know, what they don't do today is they don't really give you a complaining party. Nobody does a sworn affidavit, so it's all baloney. It's a non-case.
Right.
I think what's going to happen is I think these things are going to be easier to fight now, because basically that corporation that they put in with the Judiciary Act has been bankrupt, and Trump closed it. And I think now the cases that go to court and say, you have no standing, you have no jurisdiction over me, I don't think that they can answer it. And I don't think they will. I think people are going to start winning these cases. And that's what's going to change your grandmother's mind. When people start winning cases, and that's up to you and me, basically, because we're awake. And I believe that enough of the country is awake. Look at the first revolution.
Yeah.
Only had less than 3%. I think it was only 1% of the people that were for it. You know, the rest of the people were either neutral or they were on the other side. And they, you know, they didn't want to fight the king, but they got sucked into it anyway. There was no way to stay neutral in the last revolution, because they came and burned your farm and took your home. And they didn't care.
Yeah, right, right. No, I guess my question is just whether or not we have some kind of simple training, maybe a video, or maybe this is something I can help with. You know, that explains in a childlike way.
You know what? I'm going to get, I don't know what page it's on.
Oh, okay.
We have videos that explain all that stuff.
But in a simple childlike way
they got stick figures. They got even stick figures. It's really
awesome.
Good. I forget the name of those videos, and they explain Capitis Minutia about how they signing your name and all this stuff, and how they set up the straw man and
yeah, right, something that kind of says here's what happened.
It gave explanations of what a democracy is and what a republic. This is stuff that the kids should be getting in grade school.
Yeah, like I teach my 8 and 12 years old. I'm already teaching them. But I was just hoping for, wondering if there was something already existing that I could
form
a group of elderly and play it for them and show them what happened, you know, what went wrong, so to speak, and then show them in another little video what their responsibility is as a We the People, you know. And then we get into joining the safety groups and juries and all that other stuff.
Well, Greg, I'm going to see if, I don't know if Terry or Jan remember those videos with the little stick figures. I know John does.
Yeah.
Maybe we could give you a link to them, and maybe we'll even show them. I know we have them, and they're very elementary. If you didn't have them, they're really not elementary. They're very eye-opening.
Right.
But they're very simple to understand, and you're right. Those are the things. I mean, we went through that stuff back in the beginning because that was our process of understanding.
Right, right. Yeah, we all learned, you know, through this.
That's right. So I'll see if I can get them up. If anybody can find them while we're on here, maybe we can put them, they can stick them in my text chat, and then I'll throw them out there on the screen for them.
Okay. Well, let me just briefly, because I know others want to speak. I have a theatrical background. I was a techie. I did lighting and sound for concerts for many, many years, so I understand production. I'm also an IT guy, worked for Microsoft years ago. I've contracted doing IT work all over the world, so I'm really skilled at IT. And, if you guys can get me whatever you've got, I can turn around and fix it up or if it needs it and produce something that we can all hand around, you know, to neighbors, relatives, friends that may be a little lost, that will help them kind of ramp up, you know, about what happened and then what they need to do. And maybe that will help bring people on board, et cetera.
Well, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing that stuff, you know.
We need the help, you know what I mean? And we certainly could use that, and we'd be glad if you step up to the plate and do that. And
sure.
We'll continue to have that dialogue. And so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really want to contribute, you know, everything that I can contribute. And I have been diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. And it's metastasized all over my body. And I'll tell you what, man, it's the greatest gift God ever gave me. It's painful as hell. It is sometimes scary, but I have learned exactly how to conquer it. And I'm taking that knowledge and conquering it. But more importantly, I'm looking so forward to helping others conquer their cancer or any other disease they have, because I have now learned how to do it.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is a positive attitude.
Oh, yeah. That's, of course, the most important part of it.
And there is alternative stuff that's been hidden from us.
Oh, yeah. I have a right machine. I have, yeah. So, I'm so jazzed because my doctors are amazed. They're like, what the hell? You're supposed to be dead. I'm like, no, not today.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, and we wish you all the luck and the prayers. And
thank you.
Let's you know, be an example, be a success story.
Absolutely, that's
this cancer stuff to bed that they've put on us, you know.
Oh yeah, you know, it takes some work to conquer it, but you got to change your way of thinking, because what you know just ain't so, as Mark Twain would say. And
I love that quote. I use it 3 times a week.
Yeah, I know, that's the best one ever. I look forward to working with you guys, and I hope I can contribute and help you out. And I'm looking forward to getting this country back where it needs to be, because it's going to be beautiful. It will be heaven on earth if we accomplish these goals. It will be awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right. Okay, good talking to you.
Yes, nice talking to you too. And I plan on being here every Monday night. So, yeah, I look forward to all of the information, and I'm going to start taking the courses and get those all passed, and so that I can start doing some local jury administration work, because I've got some bad guys in my target, and I'm going to take these guys out legally without firing a shot or having to raise my fist.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Have a blessed evening, and I'll just stay on the line.
Okay, thank you. Let me get back to my... I was trying to share a screen. I don't think it worked. Hang on, let me get back to my control panel here. Okay. The next one in the till is Charlotte from Hawaii. Charlotte, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, boy. What happened? I lost everything. I don't hear anybody. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, Gerard, you're on.
Okay. Well, I unmuted Charlotte and it got very quiet. And I don't know if she's on there. Charlotte from Hawaii, go ahead. Hello, hello. I don't hear anything. It's never been that quiet. That's the second person I'm going to have to throw to by the wayside. Come on, Charlotte. Going once, going twice. Let's hear from it, from you. Otherwise, I'll open up David from North Carolina. Before I do that, I'd like to share this screen over here just for a minute, because we got lots of time to get through the questions so far. Let me see if I can do this. I'm going to give you guys some hopium. They call it hopium. It's not opium, it's hopium. And there's a lot of that out there, but some of it is better than others. Let's see if I can do this. I don't know. Okay, there's the screen. Share screen. Okay, let me try this. Okay. Let me know if you see. I only see Francine. What's up there? Francine, do you see my screen?
Yes, I do.
Do you see the Linwood special broadcast?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so it's up there. See, they don't give me... All they show me is the Francine on the other thing. This is the latest hopium. Everybody knows...
Hello?
Who,
yeah?
Yes? Yes. Okay, yeah. Who's that?
Sorry, this is Charlotte. I'm trying to get my audio working. I apologize.
All right, well, hold on a minute, and I'll pick you back up, okay? Because I didn't hear you, and then I went on to this. But I'll get back to you, okay, Charlotte? Okay, yes. This is the site that's called the True Defender, and there's rumor that Trump is picking this up, and it's going to be his site to put information out there, this True Defender. I think General Flynn has been writing on it and mentioning it. But anyway, this is an article on Linwood, a special broadcast, and he's saying that the process will play out to put President Trump back in office. A lot of people have given up on that. They think Trump walked away with his tail between his legs. And I say that you don't know the man if you think that. As much as the Democrats will not lay down without a fight, and they'll do a false flag and maybe even a nuclear attack if they can, well, Donald Trump and the white hats, the military intelligence, and the American people, 70 to 100 million of us, are all on that side. So it's not over. I mean, they have all the evidence of what happened. They got every last piece that's irrefutable now that's being put out there. So you can't, you know, if you win something by fraud, what happens with it? It's illegitimate. It's null and void, isn't it? So I expect, I didn't listen to this. You can look at it yourself if you want. I'm putting it up there so that you can, it's another piece of information that I put a little bit more credibility into it because where it's coming from. I haven't listened to, now everybody thinks that Linwood is like crazy, but I've listened to him defend himself, and the man is very, very smart as a lawyer, and they try to make him look stupid, and I watched him in an interview when there was a school that he gave $1 million to that they were going to name the wing that he donated to, the courtroom that they were building. And then they got second thoughts, got cold feet, wanted to take his name off. They were saying that he's depressed and he's not right and he has a mental problem. And this woman who was part of the board of the college is up there speaking in front of this group of people making all kinds of claims, and she had no idea that Linwood was in the audience. And as she's over there, and he's a defamation lawyer, by the way, as they're in there defaming him, he pouts up, he goes, "I'm right here." She died 1,000 deaths, and he got on and he defended himself. And she did not want him to talk, and he did a wonderful job. And if you can find that interview with him defending, and he said, "Just give me my $500,000 that I gave." He pledged $1 million, he gave $500. He said, "Look, you can take my name off, just give me my money back." You know, and he said, "Why are you making, you never even called me. What is this thing?" At the law school that he graduated, I think Eric Levy said. I lost his thing, but anyway, we'll get you the information. But if you can listen to him defend himself on that, you'll get a different idea about who this guy is, and how savvy he is, and how he held his own and didn't let them bully him and shut him up. He did a fantastic job. The guy is great. So, and I haven't seen this interview, and I haven't really. Yeah, see, there is a video here. Well, we can read this real quick if you want. A friend just sent me this interview with Linwood, and it just happened yesterday, so it's very current and very fresh. You're not going to want to miss this. There's amazing stuff in here. I can't wait to hear it. Not the least is with Linwood encouraging everyone to calm down and wait for the process to play out. Wood sounds extremely calm and confident that President Trump will indeed be serving another term in office. Yes, even as dark as it looks right now. Join the True Defender. It's a Telegram channel on Telegram, and it's https://t.me/TheTrueDefender. And we're getting a lot of stuff off of Telegraph and the True Defender site. I'm right there with them. And so Hank Cunnerman and Kat Kerr is the name of a couple of others. Not only that, but Wood went on to talk about how the plan could very well involve dissolving America, Inc. and heading back to the Republic, which I think they've already done. They just have to reveal it. There's been a lot of talk about that recently, and it's sounding more and more likely to me. And if that's the case, Wood says President Trump may also be unrestricted by the two-term limit. Oh, baby. We'll end up with a king if we're not careful. You just need to hear what Lynn lay it all out. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happened that doesn't make sense on its surface, and people don't understand it. And there's lots of little clues in this whole inauguration business that went on, on the 20th. And I'll tell you what, in my mind, it played out like the season finale of a episode of Mission Impossible. Because it clicked down to the seconds. And I'll just give you a quick synopsis of what I've gathered from that. And there are so many anomalies. When you put them all together, they add up to something. Now, these days, you can be convicted of murder on circumstantial evidence, which is something that you've never been able to do in the past. Because in the past, if you didn't have the body, you couldn't be convicted of murder. But what happened with forensics and stuff is if they can get enough evidence that points to you, that's even though it's circumstantial, but it piles up and piles up and piles up, you know, but they don't have a body, but, you know, they caught you with all the tools for dissolving a body in your car and all this other stuff, you can be convicted, which could have never happened in the past. They had to produce that body because that guy could be alive that they're going to convict you of. So I say the same thing when it comes to all this stuff that's going on, and I'll just go over a couple of things really quick that don't look right, you know, that lead us to believe that there's something more than meets the eye, besides the fact that it looks like they're doing everything on a movie set with Biden, that he's not in the Oval Office, that he's on a movie set called Castle Rock that was built for the shows that they did of the president. And there's lots of proof to that, different wallpaper and all kinds of things, different, like outside the window behind the desk in the Oval Office, they show a car in the parking lot. Well, there is no parking lot in that real window in the Oval Office. So there's all kinds of anomalies there. The other anomaly is at the inauguration, Trump arrives on Air Force One. What does Biden come in? A private jet that he had to hire. The military refused to give him a jet. So it sounds to me like he's not in control of the military, doesn't it? And then when they do the 21, they do the salute for the president leaving, they give him a 21-gun salute, which is for an arriving president, a new president, not for one that's leaving. And when Biden shows up, they give him the gun salute that's reserved for a foreign dignitary. Well, guess what? That's exactly what he is. He's a foreign dignitary because the USA was defunct, and Trump, and the number two was, he was sworn in at 10 minutes to 12. The Constitution says he has to be sworn in at 12:01. These are little things that they've never violated in 200 and something years of America, but here comes Biden along, and they're swearing him in 10 minutes early. In the last 10 minutes of his term, Donald Trump supposedly handed over the control of the United States to two generals in the military. And so that meant that we were under the Insurrection Act, which they said he signed it. A couple of people said he didn't. That remains to be seen. But it certainly seems like he did because they're treating him like he's still the president. And if you go back into the legal framework of the Constitution, which we want to get back to, and you get rid of the 1871 Act, That would make Donald Trump, I think, the 19th president of the United States, not the 43rd, because all the other ones were under an illegal corporation, and that's what we would be going back to. So that's where we are, folks. And there's lots and lots of other little anomalies that point to this, that people are like, that's not right. How's that happening? Well, I think that it's showing that, you know, that the Patriots are still in control and that there's stuff going on behind the scenes. And I could go on for another hour and a half, 2 hours with all the little anomalies that make me believe that there's something else that is deeper here than what the mainstream media is telling us. And one of the things, and they keep, you know, Donald Trump keeps, and the military, it's not just Donald Trump, there's a whole team of people behind this. They keep putting bait out there and they keep taking it. They keep taking it hook, line, and sinker. One of the things they did when he turned over the control of the American government under the Insurrection Act to the military supposedly made this announcement all over the world because it is a worldwide thing. We do business. We have lots of other countries that are our allies. So if anything is going to affect our military and our monetary system, those media stations overseas are bound, just like our media stations are bound, to put out announcements of national emergencies under their charter, because they all have licenses, just like everybody here has an FCC license, but they also have international ones. So when they told everybody that the United States is now under military control, they told all the newspapers, all the cable stations, all the mainstream news medias. It was only one paper in Belgium that printed anything about it. All of them omitted it. That was treason on their part. So see, we don't even have to go back through and show the treasonous act that they've done up until now, because he had one big act, and they took the bait, and they all failed. So basically, they under the executive order that he wrote, that anybody that was giving aid and comfort to the enemy, they can have their assets seized, they're done. They're all done. And if Biden really was the president and he's able to get rid of these executive orders, how come he wasn't able to get rid of that one that says that anybody giving aid and comfort to the enemy, that they could seize their assets and stuff, that's still standing. It's still there. He didn't get rid of that. They didn't let him get rid of that, did they? Because they're going to exercise it. You watch. Anyway, so that's my take on that, and I'll get out of this, and we'll go back to the show. That was just a little quick hopium for you people that feel like things are lost. Let me see here. Just give me a minute. I got to get back to this. I don't know why this screen doesn't get big for me. There we go. Let me stop the share. How come I don't see my... Okay, so I guess... screen share. Okay. I guess I should be stopped now and go back to my my control board here, and we'll get back to Charlotte from Hawaii, who's already opened and waiting patiently. So go ahead, Charlotte. What's your question?
Hey, Gerard. Hey. Yeah, I had to compliment you. You're the only one that caught on to my shock in H2O, by the way. I always meant to compliment you on that. But anyway, I guess my big question is... I understand the committee. I'm getting to understand the Committee of Safety more as I'm trying to find more time to really get the grasp of it, and I'm trying to correlate this group together. And I keep coming across this NationalAssembly.net, and I talked to the founder guy Darren from Michigan, and I don't know if it's the same thing or different. I mean, I don't know if it's the proper word, alliance, because of the terminology. We have the same mindset, the same goals, so on and so forth. But I wanted to know your feedback, because you guys have been doing this for quite some time. What is the difference of an assembly versus, like, the Committee of Safety? What is the powers in, like, to overthrow the government? Because there's several counties, Kauai and... there's some people on Oahu that have already got their assemblies together, and Big Island is the one for the grand jury, and I don't know if they're an assembly, and I'm waiting for her to get back to me. But I just was wondering what the difference was.
I don't know what the difference in a name is specifically. I mean, we could figure that out. But what I do know is there's groups out there, and some of them even call themselves, like we call ourselves National Liberty Alliance, and they call themselves an alliance, too. And one in particular, I believe, that does it is Anna Von Ritz. And she set up alliances, and she's setting up common law grand juries. But the trouble with her group is they want to rewrite the Constitution. They want to put everybody new in. They got people that they've named as marshals and judges. And it's out-and-out insurrection with the way she's doing it. They're all
No disrespect, but both of them are like anti- Von Ritz lady. That's all I know.
The only reason I'm mentioning that is because you have to be careful. That's all. And I don't know what this other alliance is doing, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on them. They may be fine, but we need to look into it. I don't know what I'd have to look at their charter and see what they're saying. But one thing we do not want to do is we don't want to trash the Constitution and try to rewrite it. Because our forefathers lived in that time, and that was a blessing from God. And I don't think that we have the fortitude or the moral fortitude to repeat that and do any better. I mean, we know where it needed shoring up, and we can do that, but we don't need to trash it. You know, we know where they stopped short. You know, one thing they shouldn't have never done is they all were against slavery, but they didn't have the wherewithal to actually keep it out of the Constitution, keep it out of our country, which they should have done, which it was happening anyway. You know, That was one thing. There was other things that happened that they didn't get specific enough on that have cost us headaches in these days.
So what would you suggest then? Because, I mean, you guys, I understand you guys are trying to educate the civil and trying to make powers and take back the corrupt governments. And I believe that National Assembly is trying to do the same thing, but they call it assemblies. And the way we're describing the Committee of Safety is kind of similar to the same thing as an assembly. But when I talked to the head guy last week or something, he was saying that in the old papers or documents, there was a lot of assemblies or something like that compared to other things. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know what an alliance and the difference between an alliance and assembly. Alliance to me is like that's two groups that have similar thoughts that meld together, but yet they're different. Where an assembly is specifically, we have the right to assemble in the Constitution, and that's what they're trying to take away with us with this COVID. They don't want us assembling. They don't want us in our churches. They don't want us in our town hall. That's a direct attack on the right to assemble. And to assemble, all you have to do is be we the people meeting in one area. That's it. You know, an alliance to me is more like, I got a group of lawyers here, and I got another group of, let's say, police officers there, and we have a lot of similar ideas, so we're going to align ourselves, even though we have different methodologies, we're basically the same, and so we're making an alliance to move forward. I can't draw you a better picture than that, but in my mind, that's what I see, you know, up front, and I don't know if any one is better than the other, but I think an assembly is better because it's the word is in the Constitution and we understand what it is to assemble. We might not quite understand what it is to have an alliance. And one thing what the New World Order does with all their agendas 20 and 30 and all this other stuff that they do, they're always facilitating and aligning with different things and putting nice fancy names on, quite frankly, communism. You know, they sugarcoat it. And they say, oh, well, we're going to give you sustainable development. Well, what the hell does that mean? Sounds great, but it means control, sustainable.
Yeah,
it means we got to have eugenicists and we got to kill every third born kid or something. They're not telling you sustainable development. It sounds great, but it's very insidious on the inside when you open it up. You know, they can decode it, but it's all rotten inside. So, and I'm not saying that if you use the word alliance that you're not as good as an assembly. I can't say that. I don't have that knowledge. I mean, you know, matter of fact, we call ourselves National Liberty Alliance. That was something that John and I just came up with. I don't think that we put a whole bunch of thought into the difference between an alliance. John might have his own ideas about that. I don't want to speak for him. But that's something that we can ask him what he thinks the difference between an alliance and assembly is, you know?
Well, I mean, from my understanding, they said that if you get so many people per county that you guys can assemble together and overthrow it, you know, like take out the governor through documentation and so on and so forth. Isn't that similar to like the Committee of Safety that we're trying to push a little bit? That we were talking about this morning.
Well, look, I don't know about numbers of people because we're in a republic, and in a republic, it's the rule of law, and it doesn't matter if you got 5 people holding up the law or 1,005 people. The fact is we're a nation of laws, and we don't live in a democracy. In a democracy, that's mob rule. So if they vote that we should kill every third-born child, that's what they'll do. But in a republic, that's abhorrent to the Constitution and to the laws of nature and nature's God. So, look, we understand that there's powers in numbers, but there's no specific number of what it takes to overthrow a government. What it takes is, technically, if we had good courts, if the courts were constitutional, we could go in there and say, look, this is all unconstitutional. If you had good judges, they would agree with you, and they would end it overnight. But we have judges that are controlled, and they're put in office. They're like they're mobsters. They're made men. They got them on film committing crimes so that they can control them, you know, when they need to vote. And they basically, China has reached all the way down into our towns and counties, even our counties and towns. I dare say that almost every governor has been tainted with Chinese money. They've all committed treason with Chinese money. This is why they're going to arrest. At some point, these guys are all going to have to go away because they all committed treason. It's disgusting. And we were so close to being overtaken by this communist agenda, by this Black Lives Matter, by the whole. And I don't think it's Democrat Republican, because you got just as many bad Republicans on the other side doing their mm-hmm. thing. You look at John Kerry and that; they're disgusting people, you know. Mm-hmm. And McCain and all that—they were enemies of the state. They out and out made plans with the enemy. We have pictures with them, and we got documents with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a Democrat and Republican thing. It's actually, you know, the line. It's actually easier today. It's getting easier because it's getting more black and white. You know, in my mind, there was no question about who to vote for. I did not want Donald Trump. I didn't think Donald Trump was a good choice for president when he first spoke up. I said, here's another millionaire, and this is what, look at all these millions and billions in bankers, this with the economic hitmen that went in, even to Russia, and took over their economy and left them in a shambles.
Mm.
That was the World Banking System that did that. And
yeah.
I thought it was a bad idea that we put a millionaire up. I'd rather see a statesman. Well, it turned out that Donald Trump was more of a statesman than a millionaire. He's lost half his money in the presidency, where somebody like John Kerry and Nancy Pelosi have enriched themselves hundreds and hundreds of billions of times over by laundering money for the communists. And that's mm-hmm. that's what their goal is. As a matter of fact, this last budget they put through was all for these communist countries because they were feathering their bed. That's their kickback. They'll get all that money back from these countries as they sit there and make laws so that they can come in and take over our infrastructure and suck off our teat, so to speak. So I can go on and on. I don't want to go too long. You kind of get the idea where I'm going here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time. I'll yield my time for others. Have a
okay.
great day.
Thank you. Good. That's a good question, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I think we got Eli next. I'm going to open Eli up. Eli, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
You're a little low. Go ahead and get closer to your mic or something.
Oh, I don't know where my mic is. How's that?
You're a little low, but I can kind of make out.
Well, I'll try and talk loud.
Okay, so I'll try not to talk over you. Okay.
We had a situation where we're kind of debating on supposing there is several high positions of the Republican Party in our state who are stepping down. If their seats become vacant, would that be an easy way to just jump in their seats and sort of have an influence for who gets on the ballot and things from that direction instead of starting the committees of safety? Yes, I still want to start the committees of safety, but if
you're absolutely right where you're going, and I agree, and we have to be prepared. Look, there's going to be a lot of people stepping down because they're going to go to them and say, we got this on you, just step down. And you're seeing it already. You're seeing it in government and you're seeing it in corporations. Well, what does that do? That creates a vacuum, doesn't it? And if we don't have the right people to get sucked into that vacuum, we can end up with just as bad of a system as we just left. So absolutely, if we can get constitutional people in those positions, we should do it. You know, and I mean, not everybody's going to want to sit and step into a high position because they're going to be intimidated. But let me tell you something. There's no reason to be intimidated by any high position. All you need is the education that you get at National Liberty Alliance. All you need to do is have the Constitution in your heart. You don't need a college education or anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know from the beginning, you know, a bunch of guys was farmers and they, with a good heart, and that's what we need to direct the country. We don't need all these kind of lawyers and people going all kind of crazy school and get brainwashed.
Right. Now, you did say you still want to start your COS, and the thing is we understand that the COS is very important because it's the grassroots where the rubber meets the road in the local communities. It's at the county level. So it's very important to work with the sheriff, especially now what's going on, because we can end up in a kind of insurrection, almost revolution type thing that we the people have to fight using our militias. And certainly you're going to want to use your COS and your sheriff in order to keep it from turning into anarchy. You know what I mean? That way there can be some control. And it makes sense where you don't want just a bunch of people shooting at people. We don't want to even go into that if we don't have to. And I think one of the ways to prevent a shooting war is to have enough COSs started and enough constitutional sheriffs that they don't dare come into our counties or our states. That's what's going to defeat them. Because, face it, the federal government, their power is that they can put their feet down to stand up in the counties. If you got a sheriff that every time the federal government puts their foot down, he goes, get out of here. They don't have a leg to stand on.
So, by the way, though, as we, every time us Hawaii guys, we're a little confused, we're scratching our head with the COS thing, because a very integral, very important part of the whole COS thing is, like you're saying, it's working with the sheriff, where we don't have a sheriff here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They're not elected, they're not, what do you call it?
Well, we have other states that are that way, too.
Yeah, and so
I think Connecticut doesn't have any sheriffs because they ran a referendum to get rid of them.
It just becomes kind of confusing to us when we think like, we need to work with the sheriff to do the committees of safety thing, and then we turn around and go, well, we don't really have a sheriff, so we're just, we're a little bit scratching our head. But as far as
you'll get the sheriff. You just do a vote and you vote him in. It's from we the people. The sheriff is a common law position. They had no right to get rid of it in the first place. You can't get rid of a sheriff's position by running a referendum, because you could get rid of the Supreme Court's position and the president's position. These are constitutional things that are written into the Constitution, and you can't change the Constitution by local or even state referendum. That's not how you do it. So any state that got rid of the sheriff, they committed treason. That's an unlawful act. You can't get rid of, I'm sorry, but you can't change the sheriff into an appointed czar or commissar or whatever the hell they're doing. You know what I mean?
Okay, so when you said you can vote a sheriff back in, is there a form somewhere that we can...
Oh, yes, you can absolutely, look at, you can absolutely run a referendum through the committee, man. If you have control of the committee process, you can run those things. When Bob Schultz wanted to do when he did the Articles of Freedom, I don't even know how he got a hold of it, but he got regular voting booths in the counties and stuff and set them up, and they had to let him do it. He had a copy of the law, and somehow he was able to set those things up and run those votes for the different people running for the committees that were going to go to Jekyll Island and write the document that was going to tell the government that they had to cease and desist and give them the remedy of what needed to be done. And that's exactly what he did. He had representatives from every state that showed up as delegates, and he ran it through that system. So we're friends with Bob Schultz with We the People. So when you get ready to run that, we'll get him on. He'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, and the committee men can do that too, by the way.
That's what I said, through the committee men process.
Yeah, all they have to do is walk the designating petitions and hand them in. And now they may buck on that, and they may say, you can't do that. Take us to court with the committee men. Remember, those people who would say you can't do that, they owe their job to the committee men. That's the key here.
Right.
Okay.
So
that's why we have to take back the committee
members. Back at the same step that I was at is I need to get those petitions and find out the date that the running can happen, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm working through those calendars right now. I'm waiting to get a hold of the calendars, actually, and hopefully maybe I'll look at it over the course of the next week, and I'm going to look at it state by state, and I'm going to write a paper laying out what happened, and we got a lot of that information already done, but I want to bring a paper together that really talks about the elected committee man versus the appointed party position committee man. And one of the things I found out, for instance, I looked into Pennsylvania just recently, into their election law, and they say nothing at all about the committee man process, nothing. But you know what? They don't say anything about mayors. They don't say anything about dog catchers. They don't say anything They don't talk. They mention something about Congress. They don't say anything about senators. Just because it was the titles are not talked about in the election law, doesn't mean that those titles don't exist. And by law, there is no common law. There is no common law courts. There is no justice in any courts if you don't have a sheriff, because the sheriff is the only one constitutional law enforcer of the county, and he's the top law enforcer. And that's what Gerard was saying. For instance, the feds come into the county before they try to arrest someone or bring in their SWAT teams or whatever it is they want to do. They have to check in with the sheriff first, and if they don't, there's hell to pay on that. But the sheriff can say, hey, forget about it. I don't like this. The warrant isn't signed. Whatever it is that he feels is lawful, and he can kick them out of town. And that's that. They cannot come back in. They cannot serve a warrant on an individual in that county without the sheriff. So the people need to know these things. This is common law. It's also common sense, you know. And we never gave the federal government these powers that they think they have. So we got to really, that's why we have to become educated and get the sheriffs on board with us, get them educated, create our committees of safety, take control of the political process through the committee men, take control of the judicial process through the administrators that we're putting together, and take control of our lives and our destiny and our direction.
Yeah. Okay, another little quick tidbit question is sort of like, I think from the last question Gerard was answering was, yes, we are a nation of laws, but like as in the case of Governor Newsom, they're running a petition to get 1,500,000 signatures, and it's like, yeah, I know we only need 5 people in the law to do what's right, but as it is, this democratic style is in power. Would there be some kind of a petition that we can run that has power in numbers? What does that look like? How do you take that approach?
Well, petitions definitely have power, because if you get a certain petition into Congress, they have to answer it. So that doesn't mean that numbers don't mean anything, because we're a nation of laws. You know, if we had good judges in courts, it would only take one person speaking the truth for the judges to uphold it, and that would be the end of that question. But if you get a majority of the people on an issue, especially something like recalling a governor or anything like that, they have to pay attention to that. That does have a certain power. When the we have the right to redress of grievances, and the more people that redress, the more power there is in it. I mean, there is power in numbers. You can't deny it. So
that's why you got to get the committeemen going, because see, the committeemen, they acknowledge those powers, and they owe their jobs to the committeemen, because nobody gets onto the ballot unless they go through the committeemen. Nobody. And the problem is that the parties, the private associations, these corporate parties have taken over, and they're doing that job that they don't have the authority to do. Okay, they phased out the elected committeemen and brought in the straw man. And it's run ultimately by the powers above, the powers that be. But once the committeemen, and if you take this, the committeemen take it, walk the papers, and they deliver it to the Board of Election, and that's all they need to do. They have to go forward with that election. So we will put onto the ballot the sheriff. We can have people run for sheriff. Once we make that announcement and people start to run for those positions, and they start working through the process to get into, for instance, through the primaries and then eventually into general election, you know that a lot of people that are going to buck that, and we'd end up in the courts, and we would fight that case on that behalf, of course, through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and we would win in a court of justice, hands down, not a problem. In the courts we have today, it'd be pretty tough, and that's why, you know, we're waiting for other things to happen, and then that'll set the stage for courts of justice once we put a lot of these people in jail and get them off the political stage here.
Okay. Do you guys have a link on National Liberty Lines where I can get educated on how to write a petition? I'm thinking when I run the committeeman petition and try and collect those signatures, I could also run...
Right. We will be teaching that, but, you know, there are rules and ways. For instance, if you wanted to remove a governor, you have to have certain number of signatures in a certain number of counties. I think it's 3/4, if I remember. You have to have certain percentage or numbers of signatures coming out of each one of those counties in at least three quarters of the counties. I mean, you have to have some in other counties, but you have to hit a certain level. And that level is decided on by how many votes were cast in the first election, you know, in the last election for governor. And then there's a percentage that works off that, and we'd have to look into that percentage. I don't remember what it is. But all the percentages to get people into the office is you get them on the calendars, the political calendars, and they lay out how many petitions you need for each office or percentage. Usually it's 5%, and they also give another number. For instance, a certain office might require 15,000 or 1,500 signatures, and 5% may be more or maybe less. So it's the least of those, one of those two numbers. But you look at a political calendar. We will be getting into that soon as we start to work the committeeman process coming up this year.
And the way things are these days, you can make it online, like a Facebook-style, pass it on Instagram type of petition, right? Type of like a recall.
Well,
petition.
You know, I know people are doing that, and I, you know, with the way things are, and you know, in a court of law, nothing stands up that hasn't been documented. So you have to be able to document that, and I don't know how you can document a signature, you know, an electronic signature that they might be able to defeat that in court. I'll tell you. There is a process that has to be done, and it's very elaborate, and there is a process that's laid out on how to recall, and we will go through that, and that's how. But bear in mind, you see, committee men, when they come together and they bring in these problems as a group within the county or on the state level or on a congressional level or whatever it is that they want to do a recall, and they come together on a congressional level, let's say, all of the counties involved with a particular congressman or something, or a senator or whatever, and they agree, okay, yeah, this guy's got to go, then they all go out. You have lots of people. You have hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, depending on, you know, the size of the political subdivision. The senator is half the state. It would really require the entire state. A governor is the full state. So you could have thousands of committeemen going out there and getting the signatures, and each one would go out and maybe get 30 signatures, 25 signatures, and collectively they collect enough to be able to get this guy out of office. That's how easy it is for the committeemen, because they're already organized, and they're organized in every election district, and everybody goes out and walks to bring people in or to get people out. So, but when you're doing it as a regular individual, not part of the committeemen process, you got to be careful, because you may waste your time. Because it can, I'll tell you what, if I was a lawyer on the other side and wanted to knock it out, I would challenge it all, because it's not documented, and it has to be documented right. Well, they came in and they pressed the button. Well, I don't know who that person is. You know, it
right.
doesn't matter.
So you would have to press the button to have the official paperwork mailed to you, and then you would fill out the official paperwork and send it.
Well, again, yes, but you have to have certain pieces of information where that signature came from. You have to know, for instance, not only the name of the person with a signature, you have to have that person's address, okay? And
that
of course,
would be on the paperwork.
That should be on the paperwork with the address, the county, the state, you know, which is obvious what state. But nevertheless, there's certain pieces of information that must be there, and it must be, you know, again, there's certain percentages. There's a process that's already laid out, a formula, if you may. There's a formula, and we will talk about that formula in due time. I'm a little rusty on it. It's been a while since I looked at it, and so we'll have to dig it out and lay that out on how to recall. But I think we're going to be starting with a clean slate, and I like the idea of what was brought up concerning season someone's office. If that office becomes vacated, someone can take it. To a degree, that's true, because remember, when an office is vacated on a federal level, it could be the governor of that state that chooses the person. It could be the legislators of that state that chooses the person. But in certain other places, the people can just take that office, I believe. I don't have much knowledge on that. Gerard, did you look into that before? On being able
well,
to
I know about it. I only know about it on the local level, because most of the positions in government, they have an alternative if something happens to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it goes to the party, and the party, if he's like, let's say he was a Republican and he left, the Republicans get to put in a Republican, and they have that all figured out. But I think If you have
right, and I would think on a federal level, if it's a senator, the states would make that decision. But if it is a representative in Congress of the people, then I would think the people would have to make that decision.
And I think you're right. It depends on the position. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the way it is. And I don't know what each one is. We'd have to look into that. You know, I mean, sometimes they even hold special elections, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a seat goes vacant, they can hold a special election. I've seen that done in the state and even
in done
the local.
In 90. It could be done in 90 days. 90 days right. is the plan, you know, because that gives
right.
plenty of time to work the petitions, plenty of time to people to start, going for that position and giving their positions on that position, and then to set up the election, special election, from 90 days from the time it starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And what we will do is, you know, look at New York is one of the original colonies, one of the original states, and a lot took place in New York, and New York had the Washington Clause in it, had a lot of stuff on the election of a committee man, for instance. So we will rest. If other states don't have anything in their election law, then we will apply New York law. Because that's our right to be able to do that. And the law in New York State should really be the same as the law in any other state.
Well, that's the Serenity Clause, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I forget what Article 4, maybe, or 5, I don't remember. But in any event, we can lay that out, and here's the bottom line. Okay, let's take the committeeman, okay, electing a committeeman where the position doesn't have any information on how to elect the committeeman. Or the fact that such an office exists. Again, there is no information on the governor's office, or maybe the governor doesn't exist in the election law. So, you know, again, but in any event, we have the right of having our representation from our election district. And the test on an elected committee man is, did he walk a petition to get signatures for the nomination of his position in his election district? A caucus will not do. A raising of a hand will not do. People even voting at a caucus, and even if they record the votes, will not do, because it has to be the people in his very specific political subdivision that he's running for, which in this case is the election district itself. And so you got to get the signatures from those people in your party in that election district. And you have to get 5%, which is usually somewhere between 5 and 20 signatures, depending on how many people are in that particular party in that particular election district. And then, if nobody runs against them, they are elected at the primary election. And if nobody runs against them, then they are deemed elected. That's the common law layout. That's what's written in New York's Constitution, and this information is hidden inside of election law, and it's much clearer if we go back to 1910 or 1915 or something like that, go back to the election law back then, I think it was 1911, go back to that election law when they took a lot out and put a lot of BS in there. Nevertheless, we're the people. We want our representation, and we walk the petitions, and we're going to force it through. And we can do it if the people take power. And if we have a good guy in office as the president, as I think we will again soon, I think we'll have someone behind us, and we'll get it done a lot easier than if we had to fight through the courts.
Hey, John.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were listening when Charlotte from Hawaii was on, but just real quick, I don't know if you have any ideas or not, but so I don't forget it for next week, she questioned me on some of the stuff that's going on in Hawaii. There's some groups that have started assemblies. There was a difference between alliances and assemblies, and I don't know what the difference is, or if it even makes a difference, to be honest with you.
Well,
they were starting common law grand juries, and you know, they were kind of doing the same thing we were doing. But
if they're not doing it correctly, properly, and with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, I mean, we have to be very serious and very careful with this. Because as a grand jury or a trial jury, we are representing the king of the court. And the king of the court is the creator of this universe, because that is, that's what the law is written under. We did a covenant with the creator of the universe via the Declaration of Independence, where we asked for the blessings of his liberty and to live under his law, and he blessed us with that. And a matter of fact, the Constitution talks about the blessings of liberty is one of the six things that this government, the federal government, is supposed to protect. And one of them is that blessing of liberty. And so when they go up against that, they're going up against God. So if we go into a system and we don't do it correctly and right, and we've done a lot of research to put it together, so I hope these people in Hawaii are working through us to learn these things, and if they find we have an error, we'll stand corrected. If they find information we don't have, we will accept it, and we certainly hope they would do the same with us. Remember, the last thing you want is an unjust grand jury or an unjust trial jury. As a matter of fact, the grand jury and the trial jury requirements, once we set them up, they're going to take a vow to God to act with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, and to uphold the law. And the law is the law of the land, and which is God's law ultimately. I mean, the law of the land also includes the Constitution, which God gave us the authority to do, is to write that Constitution and have government by consent. So we, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America, for the federal government, and ultimately the states too, because it governs everything. So we're the lawmakers. We are the sovereign, okay? But God is the ultimate sovereign, and he's the ultimate lawmaker, and we're under his law. But the government is under we, the people's law. People need to understand that power and that authority.
Yeah. So I think what her question was is, what is more common law, an assembly or an alliance, or it may not even make a difference?
Well, I don't see the reason for the words to be used anywhere in, we have grand jury, we have a...
No. I'm talking about we started National Liberty Alliance.
Right.
Then you got this other common law group out there, and they're calling themselves, I don't know if they're calling themselves an alliance or they're calling them assemblies. Like there's jural assemblies throughout mm-hmm. the United States.
They should be the common law juries ultimately, and yeah. create the administrations to bring them into power and make sure that they are untainted. They should follow our prescription, because the prescription we're following is the prescription already laid down in history. I don't know what they're following. There's a lot of garbage out there, and people have added more garbage into it, and it becomes a mess. So.
I
we need to do it right. If you don't have sources, you have to have a source, and you have to lay out what the authorities are that you're teaching. But there is no name. They're grand juries and trial juries, and we call them the people who will call those juries together and orientate them and prepare the people to take on the job as a petit jury or a grand jury. That should be the people's job, not the judges, and certainly not the prosecutor. So it's the people's job. But again, I know people try. I don't know why people want to reinvent the wheel. We've done a lot of work, and we're not reinventing the wheel either. We are taking what is in history.
Yeah, just a comment, John. The jural yeah. assemblies and the American States assemblies are Anna von Ritz's groups.
Oh, you're right. I remember that. You're right.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting to when I was answering yeah. that question.
Yeah.
Their decision ultimately is to rewrite the Constitution.
Right. Okay? That's exactly. Yeah,
right there, you got a problem. I mean, how are you going to make a better Constitution than the one we got?
Right. I would be very suspicious of anybody calling themselves an assembly, because we already know that she's out there. But she said they're very careful to steer away from Anna von Ritz's stuff. So, you know, it's
yeah,
kind of like...
Jan has a point, though. You know, that I remember that name being used for her.
Well, I wouldn't use it just because of the fact that she's using it.
Yeah.
Look at our forefathers.
Well, why don't we just do it the right way with what we're doing and research
well,
out of it
and correct us
if we need correction?
Well, they're setting up things to educate people, and they're calling themselves... an alliance, or not an alliance, they're calling themselves an assembly. There's nothing wrong with an assembly, because
yeah,
it's
but
the
problem,
Constitution.
The problem is, if they're creating an assembly, how long does that assembly come into being for? When do they leave? I mean, they got that going out in California. There's grand juries been sitting for 4 or 5 years. There are juries out there with the jury foreman for 20 years. It's a career position. All of that is unlawful. It's not. It is not common law. Juries are supposed to come together one time. They're called together, and they may be called for another case, but they're called together for one case. They come together, whether it's to indict or to try, and when they're done, they're dispersed, and the next group of people coming in is just another group of people netted in through the process to come in and prepared and orientated in order to do the job, and then they go back home again. This is not a career thing. Now, what we need to do is create the process for the administration of the grand juries. They do have certain organizations, but it's controlled by the courts and the judge and the prosecutor, and they're all lawyer-taught, they're bar-taught.
I think that's what they were trying to replace, was that whole system and put in,
Yeah, well, that's, we need administrators that are free from political connection and that are really there for the people and take a vow to God, that they will represent. Remember, when you go into history and study this, there's what's called the King's Bench. The King's Bench is the jury. Well, who's the king of the court? God. It's God's bench, the king of the court. We are to represent the law written in our hearts. That's where the law comes from. Everybody knows when a wrongdoing is done, so you see the violation very easily. He stole from that guy. He killed that guy. Whatever it is, it's clearly seen. You know that the crime is there. So you got to now decide, is the person guilty or innocent? We don't need a law to tell us that. We need 12 people examining the whole process and then deliberating on it and come, I remember he said that. Yeah, this guy's innocent or this guy's guilty. They come together, they come to a decision, and they give it out. That's the people's job, and that is what God set up for us.
Okay.
So we don't want judges, and we don't want bar attorneys, prosecutors, or any of that stuff.
Okay. I think we answered that question. So I'll move on to the next here. I lost my train of thought. There was something else I was going to get, John, but...
Well, you'll get.
You can relax for now. I had a senior moment and lost it. So, anyway.
That's because I was sticking your little figure here with pins.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
I got a big figure. You'll be careful. I got a life-size one in my living room. Anyway.
Hello.
Yes, Greg. Go ahead.
Hey. You guys, it's been so awesome listening to you all tonight. I had another quick question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's this. I'm currently our military. Now, they swear an oath to our Constitution. My question is, are they swearing the current military? Are they swearing to the original organic Constitution or the other one?
Well, technically, there's only one Constitution. You know, I don't care what they got. That other one is fraud.
We had a guy that brought us another Constitution. He said it was from 1787. And the Constitution that was signed, took effect in 1789. But they were the same ones. The only addition that might have been added in is the fact that they were going to put a Bill of Rights in. Other than that, it was the same thing. You see, the Constitution ultimately was completed in 1787. Okay, that's when they finished it. It took them another year and a half, 2 years, 1789, in order to bring it to the point where they... put it into effect and elected the people, and America began officially. Okay, but it was the same. People are confused, and I don't know where that came from. But someone made an error thinking that it was two different constitutions. It's the same one. The wordings are the same. There's nothing changed in there. But again, there was a debate between 87 and 89 concerning that there wasn't enough restrictions. And therefore the Bill of Rights was added. And there were states that refused to sign unless that was agreed to. And they already had the 12 amendments they wanted to put in. And it ended up all 12 did get in, but it was formed in under 10. Okay? So everything that they wanted, and the people who pushed that was really the Anti-Federalists, which was headed up by Madison and Jefferson. Madison, Jefferson was away at the time, But Madison was Jefferson's protege, okay? He was younger than Jefferson, and Jefferson mentored him, and but he was a highly educated individual, too. And when these two minds came together, it's been said that nothing could stand up against them. And they put together the Bill of Rights. Madison gets the credit for that.
Right.
He was the one physically here, and Jefferson wasn't. And he communicated back and forth by letter, which takes 3 months to get here, you know, back in those days.
Yeah.
And Jefferson is credited with the Declaration of Independence.
Right. So this rumor, or whatever you call it, about a United States corporation-type constitution happening sometime in the late 1800s is nonsense. We just have the organic, real one for the United States.
The Organic Act of 1871 began the USA Incorporated, and that's where it all began. Washington, D.C., as a municipality, is the enemy of the people, the enemy
right.
of President Trump when he was in. Of course, they had their corporate presidents before that. And,
yeah.
But he changed.
But the military is under the right, they're in the right place, is I guess what I'm getting to.
In what sense they're in the right place?
Well, they're not under that late 1800 situation.
Well, the ones that are working with Donald Trump, who is military intelligence, I won't say that everybody in the Pentagon is, you got some what do you call it?
Treasonous people there.
Yeah. You got some that are for the military industrial complex, they're hawks.
Right.
And they're definitely squarely behind the wrong constitution. And they give Trump and us a lot of headaches, and they're still there. They're still
right.
there right now because you get their...
They're still under the wing of the leadership that's still there that when Trump left. To my knowledge, he hasn't gotten rid of generals or anything.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to try because he's got to get rid of those people. But bear in mind, whatever happens, the people in the service, you know, the regular soldiers and so on, they're going to follow the orders coming down from the top. But at some point, they're not going to come out against American people. I mean, look.
Well, no. So the oath that they currently swear to is the proper oath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. And so what's the general consensus? I feel like the military will do the right thing for the people. Is that kind of how we feel, too?
And they do, too, because that's why they went through all the trouble of trying to get those UN and Chinese troops over here, because they know that the American military is not going to be a friend of theirs, ultimately.
Right, right, yeah.
I mean, they've already done all kinds of testing and questions and with National Guard and even the regular military, and they'll get a percentage. They'll get 5% or something like that, but that's it.
Right, right.
What's going to happen in the military is the 5% that go along with it, the other guys are going to be shooting them. They're going to be arresting them and shooting them.
Right.
You know, they won't be able to. They won't be able to watch their backs enough to carry to pull anything off. That's my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, so really, the bad guys were able to infiltrate some, but not all. Generally speaking, the good guys win.
Well, Obama did us the most damage. He took out. The best generals that were in control of the nuclear arsenals and the submarines.
And right.
A lot of damage and put a lot of bad generals in there. I don't know how many are left, but, that's something that we have to come out of. They need to be replaced. And I know that there was some replacement. There actually was a woman submarine commander that refused to fire a missile that he told her to fire on America.
Well,
he put her in jail, and I hope she's still not in jail. That's something that Trump should have taken care of.
I think Trump did quite a bit while he was in office as far as putting good people in and getting rid of bad people. But, I just wanted to get a feeling from the group or you guys as to where we are with the military, because it feels like it's good that we don't have to worry about the military going rogue or whatever. But
I don't think so. Yeah. They'll get a foreign country to do that. That that's China or Cuba or somebody, whatever they can get. And that's a tall order, because if they come against the people,
yeah,
we're the most armed people in the world. That's that.
Oh, yeah.
Amendment is really what's going to save us. And
that, oh, I mean, yeah. Well,
it's like General, what's his name, Hiroshito said. He said, you're going to be a gun behind every blade of grass. You wake up a sleeping giant.
The sleeping giant. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if there's ever a problem, we just grab all our kids and bring them home, you know, and say, all right, we're going to start a new thing. Welcome to the militia.
Exactly.
Well, look, at the leader, I understand the leadership of this whole thing and the military doing the investigation and everything is really being controlled by the Space Force.
Yeah, that's how I understand it, too.
And that's what I heard from Dave with F-22. And I think there's another guy, Periscope something.
Periscope is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Well, I know that definitely all intelligence went over to Space Force, so CIA and all those guys are done, and Space Force has it all now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Well, super important. Well, cool. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to get a feeling on that because I wasn't quite sure what oath they were swearing to and, you know, just wanted to find out. But thank you very much. So informative, you guys.
You're welcome. Okay. We're moving right along. We got Barbara unmuted. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, thanks. This is Barbara from New York. I on the comment earlier that you and John were making about Connecticut and not having sheriffs,
mm-hmm.
and that without sheriffs, you really can't have common law. Can National Liberty Alliance do a grand jury in Connecticut?
We intend on dealing with that problem in the courts when we can. And it's a very simple case. You can win it very quickly, very easily. We'll try to go through the state courts first, and then we can take it into the federal court. But we can definitely win that case.
Well, you don't need a sheriff to make a grand jury. That's not the problem. The problem is the sheriff is the enforcement. That's the problem.
Right, and the committee and the committeemen can also repair that problem in Connecticut.
Right.
We have seven counties here in New York that don't have elected sheriffs. And I was alarmed to read in recently I was looking at the New York State Constitution, and the governor in the Constitution it says the governor has the ability to fire a sheriff. Now there has to be cause, of course, but that's not possible. That's null and void. That's not possible. Look at
he's an elected official.
Right. He can't be. No other elected official can fire another elected official.
Because they're trying to put the sheriff under the executive department.
Right, right. Yes.
And the governor has control, is the chief executive. But the sheriff is an exception to that. You know,
yeah,
you can't call the sheriff an executive when he's an elected official.
Well, the sheriff can't the sheriff arrest the governor?
Sure, if he has enough people behind him. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he has the ability to, you know, but...
Absolutely.
You know.
Look, governors have been arrested by different law enforcement, FBI particularly. How much more the power of the sheriffs? And look, if you got a governor that's got to go, you know, these governors have sheriffs associations, so they come together and talk, just like committeemen come together and talk. And then if there's a real bad problem with the governor, and they, like happened here in New York, the sheriffs got together, and all but two sheriffs in the entire state of New York, all but two sheriffs agreed that we are not going to turn over the list of gun owners to the governor or to the state police. They can go take a hike.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Whoa. Do you know about the... I heard about the bill that was going through the New York legislature about the governor being able to arrest citizens at his discretion if he thought by any chance they were a danger based on illness, just on the governor's very own discretion.
Well, again, that won't hold up. I know I talked to my sheriff about these things, and he said, call me. That's what he said. Any
well, never
problems?
Mind the governor. They got red flag laws. You can go down and give a name, and they're obligated to come out.
But this governor's going to jail. It's only a matter of time. Even the attorney general right now, New York here, is going after him. You know, for all those deaths that he caused in the nursing homes, which was, I think, 4,000 and change that recently they upped it. And they,
it's way more than that.
I thought it was 11,000.
Yeah,
then
it's escalating. Yeah.
It's higher by 50% now?
Oh, more than 50.
Yeah, they take 11,000 and add 50% is what I heard.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but we're going to find out eventually. And so he's going to go to jail for that.
I'm hoping.
But yeah, look at the sheriff can arrest anyone within his county. If he wanted to go after the governor, I would imagine he'd want to collect and talk with all the sheriffs in the states and get a consensus and say let's go do it, and then they would do it. I mean that's how I would do it if I was the sheriff. I'd make sure I have a posse of sheriffs with me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Sounds great.
So we got to just train our sheriffs, and that's why we have the book Governor by Consent, and that's why we have a campaign going on, a campaign for constitutional sheriffs, and we're asking people to buy their sheriffs a book. Go up and click on the button, fill out the form, and buy your sheriff a book. And if your sheriff has already been bought a book by someone else, we'll give it to the sheriff in the county next door. Our goal is to educate all of them, not one of them, not 10 of them, all of them. So we have to get all 3,000 plus sheriffs.
You know, it just gives them more power and makes their job, you know, more interesting and, you know.
Everybody think about that. Please get involved in our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You'll find a button on our front page or even just click the button on the right-hand side of a website with the book Government by Consent. And on that form, you can order a book for the sheriff, and you can also order a book for yourself if you want. You should get one. And you can order as many as you want. So, I mean, there are people who are buying more than one and giving it to other people in office, and that's a good idea. But we need to get the message out, and that's why we put everything into one book, and I'm telling you it is packed with everything anybody needs to know concerning their heritage, this nation, where we come from, where we should be, and how we take power and authority and put these people back under the chains of the Constitution. If people follow that plan inside that book, because literally it's more than a book, it's a plan. It is a plan to save the Republic. That's what this book is. And, you know, we formed what we're doing. We've been working at this for 12 years or so, maybe longer. We've got tremendous amounts of information and education on the website. And we've been researching for all these years, and we've pulled it all together and compiled it into one book. And you could take this book into a court and use it as reference to find information and things that you can apply in your cases.
Okay.
Well, thank you. That's great.
Hey, we got Brent in the queue. I'm going to open him up to see what he... I know he wanted to say something. Hang on, I just lost my screen. Where is it here? Okay, there we are. Let's see. How come I don't see him anymore? Did he hang up?
He's not in as a host?
Well, he was in the queue, and now I don't see him. He disappeared. People are dropping like flies. Oh, here we go. Brent, Indiana. I don't know why this screen jumps around like that.
Yeah, look at the interface of this. These people that created the interface... You know, they've never went out to actually execute it and try to actually see that it works well, and they'd find the bugs.
Kind of like the vaccine. Anyway,
yeah.
Brent, you're unmuted. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, wow, good thing you told me.
Yeah. How come you didn't come
weird.
In as a host? You got the numbers and stuff, don't you?
I got the number I'm in. Let me... If I may say a word or two, I had an idea and I wanted to throw it out.
Okay, two words are up.
The only reason, pardon?
Just kidding. Two words are up, we're moving on. Just kidding.
Oh, the only reason, the only reason that Pelosi and the rest of those Jezebels and the ones following them would want to impeach Donald Trump is because they believe and know he's still president.
Ah, good point.
Well, it makes the point, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're afraid. They live in we think we get scared. These people are running like, well, they're scared. They tremble at the rustling of a leaf.
Mm-hmm. That's in the Bible.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the one. You know where he is. Well, I know that they are just because the Bible says it, and I think I've seen it. And in my life, personally, I've experienced it. If I wasn't living right, I don't have the confidence that I would have otherwise.
Right. So
these folks are living in absolute hateful, ugly treason to the country and the land the Lord their God has given them. They're afraid. They don't know what's coming next, but they're not stupid. Just because people are fearful doesn't mean their mind doesn't manipulate constantly, and they're master manipulators trying to control the future. They're afraid DJ is president. Well, they know he is. They're afraid it'll actually come to light. So if they impeach him, they think they've got themselves covered, although I haven't heard. Last I heard, the Chief Justice would not preside over the proceeding. And if that's true, of course, it isn't true anyway. Well, that's number one. Number two, I had a client call me from, just got out of jail. And when this gal went to jail, she went for false reasons, no reason. And she wanted to make a phone call. They supposed to allow you a phone call. She tried to call her family on the cell phone. They let her use the one she had. No, it was not on her cell phone. That was after she got out. She tried to call on the telephone that they let her call on, and she could hear a recording saying to the person that picked up the phone, which she tried to call her family members, and the recording said that this is a call from China. Do you accept charges? No kidding. In small town America. I don't think we've even begun, as much as we know and as much as we realize, how deeply ingrained the Chinese are. I assume that they have a contract from China to handle telephone calls in this little county. That's the only thing I can figure.
That is the most egregious system. I've had people in jail call me, and they cost hundreds of dollars, and they, it's such a robbery what they do to them.
Yeah, it's a robbery.
It's horrible.
Contracted. Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. You're supporting my story. My story is true. I'm telling it, but you're saying, yeah, this is true, but to pour fuel on the matter, the money is no longer being sent to a private American company. It's being sent to the commies over in China. Apparently, they've got the contract. That's the way it sounds to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the two things that I wanted to mention, and thanks for recognizing me. I'm on the road, and I had to call on the phone, but I was able to listen to some of the discussion here the last hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I still say that we should not attack, but we should stand fast on the ground we have and say, no, we're not participating. This is too much, and you're not going no further. You're not going no further with me. I ain't buying it, and I'm not going to say what you want me to say, and I'm not going to say I believe that the election was without fraud. No, not only that, there was no election. There was no election, and I am not going to speak politically correct, and I'm not going to wear a diaper on my face and just be kind about it and stick to your guns. Well, back to you, John or Gerard, whoever's got the floor.
Well, you know, I think the time is coming, like right now, that when we go in these courts and we challenge their jurisdiction and tell them that they don't have standing or jurisdiction over us, I think because the corporation is bankrupt, and I believe Trump has made it go defunct, I think we're going to start winning these cases, because they know it too now. It's becoming common knowledge that they're standing under the wrong constitution, and their corporation is no longer a corporation. It's been dismantled, and I think you're going to start seeing these court cases, one, that they're not going to be able to tell us we don't have standing, or we're falling under Rule 2, and don't, you know what I mean, are not stating a case on which relief can be given, and blah, 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 blah. But I think it's on its way out.
I feel hopeful. And you got more people talking about that now than ever before. I mean, I can't believe how fast people have educated themselves about the corporation. I thought that was going to be a hard one for them, but it's like people go, "Oh, that's defunct and it's an illegal corporation." I can't believe how many people actually have that
now.
That's
because they can see it now.
Right. So that's encouraging. Look at all the cases that they dismissed on us, and they didn't do, and we've sanctioned them, and what do you call it? What do you call what we do? We gave them having a senior moment. We've indicted them. Those things can all start coming pop, pop, pop all at once. All we need is a good judge to get in there and go, "Well, this was done wrong, and we're going to do it right now." You know, the people have spoken. You know, so that's where things could really accelerate. You know, you have to think about this. It's a long time coming, but I think once the dominoes start to fall, I think you're going to see an accelerated, you know, learning curve and an accelerating liberty curve, because people have had enough.
The things that are that sound weird politically 20 years ago become the dominant point of view in the present. I've read that in the past. Now I've lived long enough to see it a few times. And if California gets rid of this Governor Newsom, and the talk now when you read the literature is that they'll likely get the job done. At this point, he's on the run. That's going to be a big domino to go down. And God help us. Maybe the rest of them will go down. Whitmer, the creature from Michigan that's sitting in the governor's office, apparently has lost a couple of big court cases. I heard this evening from Sheriff Darr. He sent messages to me outlining the cases. People will put up with a lot, obviously, as our Declaration of 76 says, but there always comes a point where people say, "No, we don't want to do this anymore." And all your arguments don't make any difference. And I think we're possibly getting to that point. I feel good. I feel good knowing that the best man always comes out on top in the end. And it ain't over, said Kerry. It ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over. This debacle is really just... Go ahead, Jordan.
No, I agree. That's all. I mean, you're right. Yeah. We've just scratched the surface, really.
Yeah, and so, I haven't wore a mask yet. Can you believe that? I haven't. And it's a matter of principle at this point, just a matter of principle. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could do it. I don't know if it'd hurt me, but then again, it could hurt me physically, and I don't want to do it. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot and heard you talk about it, Gerard, and you've done the research, and I guess we're past talking about that so much, but with me at this point, it's just a matter of principle. Only a darn fool would put a diaper on his head when the government says to, and that's what I see happening.
Oh, and well, what about when you double up that diaper? What's that make you, a darn fool to buy two?
Yeah. No. Somebody's talking about quadrupling it now.
Oh, my goodness. Why don't you just put a rope around your neck and pull it?
Yeah. That's not funny. It's just stupid, but what are you going to do? Laugh or cry? Rather laugh, I suppose. But that's how crazy things have gotten. Well, yeah, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged about what California is doing, finally. I hope they come through, and I'm encouraged by what I see happening in Michigan. And I'm encouraged about what I'm seeing happening with organizations like National Liberty Alliance, because they're talking. They're getting together, and they're talking, and this is what's killing them. Because when people get together and talk, they find out they have similar points of view. And when that happens, there is a combination of energy. I forget what they call it. I've heard business lecturers talk about when you double the energy of two people, you get the energy of four. I don't know. Somebody will know what that principle is, but I find it true. It picks up steam real quick, and that's what we've got to do, is keep saying the truth. The truth will outstretch and outnumber, out-multiply the lies rapidly if the truth is told. And that is why, of course, that speech is censored here. It's shocking. I talked to a lady the other night in a hotel. She was at the desk. It was in a remote area, but she was an immigrant from Poland, had married an American, and she said to me, I've tried to tell my husband, he's a school teacher in a little town, I tried to tell my husband, I've seen all this before, and you think it's new. It's not
right,
new.
Right.
I know. Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of Russian immigrants here. They're all around here where I live, and they're all saying the same thing. They're saying just that.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying this is not different than what we watch, what we experience.
Trying to get the Americans to wake up. Well, let's wake up. You know, as they say, and I often say, a cat will only sit on a hot stove lid once.
Yeah.
But a cat, supposedly a cat, will watch another cat sit on a hot stove lid, jump straight up in the air about 6 or 8 feet and take off. But the cat that watches him do that won't learn a thing.
Right.
He'll sit on it later too. Well, supposedly we're supposed to be smart enough. Well, we all learn from experience, but we're smart enough, supposedly, that we can learn from the experiences of others, their bad experiences. And these Ruskies and these Poles, they've been through the ringer on some of this stuff. We ought to be listening to them and taking heed. And don't let it be lost on us. Let it sink into our brains and say, well, we'll take good warning here and say, no, we're not putting up with this. This is pure. It's funny, isn't it? We thought we defeated communism, Ronald Reagan and all. No, we didn't come close. It just simmered for a while, and here it comes back even uglier with great technology.
So, well, what that whole thing of defeating it was allowing it to come in here because we were not afraid of it, and their errors crept right into America.
Good point. All of a sudden we got, oh, we're done. It's over. And you're saying, what you're saying is it wasn't over, and we were stupid to just rest and relax.
They told us they were going to come. Khrushchev told us, China told us, we're going to defeat you without firing a shot.
Yep.
That's what they said, and they knew it. Because they already knew. Look, China's been in our government for 50 years. They've been buying governors and judges, and they've been here for 50 years.
Well, they certainly have. And they are the evil empire. The evil empire is chaos, and we are cosmos. We are order, and order always defeats disorder without question every time. All we must do is maintain the order of true law. The order of true law, that means you and me individually must do the right thing. That does, being out here trying to save the country isn't going to save the country. What's going to save the country is talking about it, getting together, encouraging one another, and then finally, individually, doing the right thing. That's what will save the situation from hell, our whole country. You know, I like to say Noah did not try to save the world. He tried to save his family.
Right.
That's it. But in doing so, he saved the entire race of man. And also, that's the principle. I call it the Noah principle. You can do the same thing, every one of you. Just take a deep breath, relax, and go out and say, I'm going to do the right thing today, and I don't feel like what just happened in this political realm was right, and I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to concede. I'm not going to go along with the silly stupidity of the useful idiots of the evil empire. I'm just not going to do it. And by you doing that, you will wield great power, the power that your maker wants you to wield. And when we do that, as we continue to do it, they are truly powerless. They're nothing but ugly, scratching, biting, hateful, overblown people. I hate to call them people, but they're that's all they are. And they will fall before order, the true order of God's law. Back to you, Gerard.
And that word that you're looking for, says Terry, where two people increase their energy to four, is called synergy.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. I believe it's true. I think I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen it. You know, you twist a rope, a three-strand rope together, and it's a lot stronger than just three strands together. But when you twist them into a rope, it exponentially increases the strength because it has a way of communicating throughout the rope the tensile strength. And that's the way we are. And if we're of like kindred mind and spirit on these particular points of contention, we will defeat the enemy. Remember, the enemy only operates on, we're going through the prophet mantle on Sunday mornings, well, we are. The enemy, the evil empire in the day of Daniel, the prophet, it says that they operate and they gain their power by passing out wealth. And the word in the New Testament for demon means distributor of wealth. That's what a demon is.
Imagine
and that's,
that.
That's what he said to Jesus Christ. He said, fall down and worship me. I have all the wealth of the empires of the earth, and I'll give them to you. And that's what the Federal Reserve Bank says to the government employees. They print the money as a counterfeit operation. They just pass out the goodies. And as long as they're getting paid, they're going to do what the government says. That's not very much strength, really, against people who will do what's right, what their maker wants them to do, without any money at all. As a matter of fact, we'll do it in the face of evil, in the face of threats of destruction and murder and loss of property, and we'll still do it. Why? Because we're appreciative of our maker, and we're loyal to him, and we'll do what he wants us to do. And he has empowered us by his gumption breath to do that. And the evil empires of this world, and we're facing them like mankind has never faced them before. It'll all fall down in front of us if we will but, as the Bible says, stand fast. It doesn't say attack so much. That's not it. You know, just stand fast. Now, that means that they may get violent toward us, but we are to just stand fast and defend the territory we're given. Back to you, Jordan.
Well, to me, and then we're out of time, but to me, it's definitely diabolical because I don't imagine that any one man could have dreamed up this plot that they put on us with this virus, with not having us being able to assemble, by shutting us out of our churches, by keeping us, you know, from talking about things and doing things. It was perfect, you know, to bring down the money system and everything that they got planned here. This was their perfect plan. This was the perfect storm that was supposed to put them, that was supposed to totally defeat us. You know, they had a 16-year plan with Hillary that got upset there. You know, that they were gonna do 8 years and then 8 years and that's the end of America. So, you know, we're fortunate that we got a stop in that. But this whole thing, I don't see where any one man could have planned all the different facets that fit in perfectly in the mix to accomplish the goals that they wanted. You know, it's got a diabolical thread to it, you know.
It's too long range to be the product of a man. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. It's that kind of a situation. And that's what Jesus Christ did when he spoke to the old scratch himself. He just quoted the law of God. Of course, he was the author, but he quoted it to him in application. And he went away. Resist him, stand fast, and he will flee from you.
All right.
Back to you, Jordan.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we're going to end. We've had a good show. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but we'll try to get you next week. I thought we had more time than we did. We got going. It was so much fun. The time went quickly. Anyway, we'll see everybody. God bless, and come back next week. And we've had some really good questions. Bring back some more. Thank you.